talked about. So easy. You gotta put it in
Please welcome Ryan Seacrest.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm sure I got a badge for banging.
So you're telling me that Bean was a baller back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
All ladies. Face.
Oh.
Longer.
Oh, God.
Down where your nuts hang.
What?
G-g-gah.
Yeah.
Nope. Round under my back of my bunghole.
Smell it.
What kind of God makes a world like this? Less talking, more swallowing.
Jigga or
That's what I'm saying.
And I feel like that's pretty clear.
And now,
I will slit you both open from mouth to anus and wear you like jackets.
Our feature presentation.
And you,
jeez, Bean.
And you should, sir. That was rough.
Woo.
Was that a tough start?
Woo.
I mean, it was pretty strong. Came on pretty strong.
A little too violent and psychosexual to get the week started? Is that what you're suggesting?
I mean, take it easy.
And it is too early, I guess, on a Tuesday.
I mean, liked it.
Honestly,
of course you enjoyed it.
Of course. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 30th of May. What's up?
Well, Allie discovered she's really good at something this weekend, I found out.
Yeah.
You found out that you're really good at something. Okay.
Well, Saturday, I met some girlfriends out for some food and drink, and they didn't serve hard alcohol. It was only a wine place.
Okay.
And I don't drink wine.
Right? Oh, you don't drink wine?
No, I'm just, no. I just,
I figured you drank anything with alcohol in it.
That's cute. I'm a vodka or whiskey, bourbon kind of gal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I found out, boy, am I good at wine.
Oh.
Yeah.
You just discovered that, did you?
Okay. Man, I was nailing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was doing pretty awesome. Another bottle? Yes. That sounds
great.
So you
were pouring into a glass and then lifted that right up to your lips and you just down the hatch.
Yeah. It was not
a problem. She was drinking out of the bottle halfway through.
Pretty much.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Just one right after another.
Is the hangover from wine different?
Glad you asked.
Yes.
It is very different.
Is it?
Okay. It is not as severe.
Oh.
But it's longer.
Oh.
It's a dull pain for longer. Like, usually with a bad hangover by like 3, 4 in the afternoon, you're like, I could eat something and be somewhat normal.
And have a couple of beers?
No.
No.
Not with
not
a wine
really?
Hangover. Yeah, not with me.
Now, here's the question I have as you're not a wine person.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know where to start with what to order, since there are so many different varieties?
My friends are all winos, so I just left it up to them.
So they ordered for you?
Yes.
Gotcha. And did you enjoy it enough that given a future situation where you have the choice between wine or hard liquor, you might actually order wine or no?
No, that's crazy.
So very much a second choice.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, if it's the only alcohol available, you're now okay with drinking it, but it's never your first choice.
I am really okay with drinking it.
I sort of wish I was. I feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah,
it like
looks
wine.
Classy.
It
with
does.
The everything about it is good.
Everybody seems to be having such a good time when they're drinking.
Such a good time.
Oh, you have to try this. You'll never believe it.
The best mom stories.
I don't know about that part, but
not sure either.
But I agree 100% with what Kevin's saying in that I feel like, because I am not a wine drinker either, mm-hmm. I feel like I am missing a crucial component of the taste of a fine meal.
Sure.
Right.
In other words, it would be like not understanding sauces or spices. It's like your meal is less than because you don't have that accompaniment with the drink.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that.
Yeah, we had oysters.
Because wine people are dicks. Maybe that's what it is.
That might be it.
Wine people are dicks.
We had oysters, and white wine just went with it. It just tasted good. I don't know if a whiskey would have tasted as good.
Yeah, that's it. That makes a lot of sense, I guess. It's complementary tastes. But I don't think either Kevin or I have a sophisticated enough palate to enjoy that.
That's correct, yes. Oh, what's that?
What's that?
What?
What's going on?
Did you hear that? What did that mean?
I wish that were
happening. Oh, my God. Sounds
he's so great. It's not happening, Kevin. Not today.
All
right.
That was it's Friday. Hey, do we have time for a thing?
Sure.
Were you thinking about that all
Sing
weekend?
It. No, I just thought of it coming
okay.
in.
Here's a thing that I find hard to believe, and it comes out of Memphis, Tennessee, before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. This is a man driving down the road. His name is Carl Webb, and he was pulled over by a police officer who was on his way back from a barbecue festival. This happened Thursday evening. And the officer said, hey, are you aware that there is a person on the trunk of your car? There is a human being riding on the back of your car as you are in your Ford Taurus going 65 miles an hour down an expressway.
The guy had no idea?
Yes, he had no idea. What? He says, the police officer says, mister, I'm not messing with you. There's a body on your trunk. Mr. Webb says, I got out, I walked around, and sure enough, there he was, hanging on, still unconscious, just laying there.
How hanging on?
How hanging on indeed.
If unconscious.
How hanging on indeed.
Right?
Police did not explain how the man remained unconscious on the truck, but credited the officer with possibly saving a life. Apparently, there was the description in this article says that there was some sort of a lip on the – a slight lip on the trunk that prevented the man from falling off.
Like a little spoiler maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Something that even though the force of the travel would have ordinarily pushed him off just a slick back of the car, but there was something that was keeping him on there.
Oh, my God.
But how did he get on the thing if he was unconscious? And how did he not wake up by the noise and the wind? I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't understand about how this is possible.
How does the driver not notice?
And how do you – well, I mean, I can see if it's nighttime. I don't know. Is it possible it's just nighttime? You just don't see it either out of your back window maybe?
I can't imagine you don't hear something or feel something.
But if he's just laying on the back or lying – nope. Still no.
Okay.
Still no. If the guy is just not moving around or, you know, banging on the trunk or screaming or anything like that, maybe just – I mean
– Don't you make a certain amount of noise just being dragged?
He's just up there.
He's just on the trunk. He's not being dragged behind the car.
Foot's not kicking something. I mean,
he's unconscious. But how?
No, but I'm saying – By the way, the wind factor would make his jacket flap or his foot kick or something.
Keep working this through.
I'm coming up with some pretty good options here.
And again, I want to point out, by the way, if I didn't mention this, this wasn't 500 feet out of the barbecue festival. He was on the back of the guy's car for 14 miles.
No, sir. See? None of this is believable.
14 miles.
No. I'm not buying
it. I reject your story.
Well, then you have to take it up with Carl Webb, the driver, and Officer Benjamin Huff, Memphis PD. Then,
we will have a meeting later today.
Okay. Well, please let me know what they say.
Because I'm tired of their BS.
I'm sure the jacket flap would have allowed him.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah,
what
about the jacket flap?
The jacket flap.
You did? Nice.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beecher, shall we?
What is the point of you?
Brand new internet roundup on the show today.
Yeah.
Love that. The Bachelorette Report with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis.
Which you seem to now be watching.
I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I would like to have. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
This is a surprising turnaround.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of happened last season? Yeah, last season.
Mm-hmm. And this was instead of game one of the Stanley Cup final?
Oh, no. That was a definite – I watched that.
You
and
did both.
In between
okay.
periods, there's like 15 minutes, so you switch back and forth.
Okay.
No, you don't miss any of the Stanley Cup finals for that. No.
Now, are you hate-watching or love-watching?
Hate-watching. The guys are horrible.
Yeah.
The guys all suck.
Yeah. Okay.
But Mila Kunis was on last night.
Ooh,
oh.
She's the perfect woman.
Huh.
Right? So anyway, we'll get an update on that today. We will try to update you on the Taylor Swift-Katy Perry feud, in which we're all rooting for Katy Perry.
We are Team Taylor, correct.
I got robbed over the weekend.
I'm sorry?
Oh.
Technically, I gave my money over, but I think I got robbed.
Wait, just tell me
we'll
where
discuss.
It took place.
Outside of Chili's. So I tweeted that over the weekend. A guy goes, that's what you get for going to Chili's. Harvey Levin from TMZ on the program today. And Sean Hattasey, the return of Animal Kingdom. Very excited about that. He's coming in studio this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
So coming up right after 6, Kevin will tell us how he got swindled the weekend.
I'm going to say robbed.
Huh. Robbed?
Robbed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that... You know, rob convey some sort of violence, some sort of threat of violence.
No,
that's what
a
robbery is.
Well, there was none of that.
Then
was it
surprisingly,
it
Kevin, then you have the wrong word for what happened to
it
you.
It was a voluntary robbery.
Oh, a voluntary robbery. One of those. No, oh, yeah, they have a special squad, I think, in the LAPD just to handle those. Law and Order Voluntary Robbery Unit.
I think I got ripped off. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, the Law and Order VRU? Oh, yeah, that was Kevin.
Sure.
That was Kevin.
He's been dragged behind the car. No, he was on the trunk. Then he was kicking. No, he was unconscious.
I'm saying the wind.
The jacket flapping.
14 miles.
Come on.
It's a miracle.
You guys don't know.
That's true, we don't. Anyway, we'll talk about that. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here. First thing on a Tuesday morning, what's new, what's going on? What's
feels like a Monday, right?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday.
Right.
So let's go with that. Let's lean into that.
Okay.
And let's take a look at the showbiz, box office numbers from over the weekend, so we can see what people went to see at the movies, just like we do on a Monday. For the long holiday weekend, the big winner was Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Made $77 million this weekend, making it number one by far. Kevin, did you go? Did you watch
it? Yes, and I loved it.
It's good, right?
Yep.
Good movie.
Good summertime movie.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was second with $25.2 million. Baywatch debuted with just $23 million, making it number three. Everyone expected that to do much, much more. Alien Covenant was fourth. Everything was not everything because it was just fifth. It was everything. It'd be first, right?
You would think.
I mean, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, flapping jacket, right?
Just wow, that's a possibility.
How do you know he's even wearing a jacket?
I don't.
Maybe it was a summertime event.
I'm just saying, if he's driving 65 miles an hour, there's a lot of wind. That causes some noise.
But wasn't it fun to watch him work through it? I mean, really.
It was fun to find out how little he follows after being said he was on top of the trunk and unconscious, and Kevin insisted he was being dragged and kicking.
I'm saying maybe the wind caused his foot to kick or his jacket or some kind of noise.
Oh.
It would cause some kind of
wind
noise.
Wind kicking. We didn't mention wind kicking. You brought up jacket flap.
Thank you. Finally.
I didn't know about wind kicking.
Kevin, are you sure that the driver didn't voluntarily offer up the trunk to the guy to lay on?
That's my point. You don't know me.
He was carjacked by the guy as he was unconscious with his...
The unconscious carjacking.
His windbreaker flapping. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul was sixth. Snatched, King Arthur, The Boss Baby, Beauty and the Beast were your top 10 films at the box office. Speaking of films, a big hullabaloo.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not a hullabaloo.
There's hullabaloo.
Uh-oh.
There's a kerfuffle. Anyway, there's big beef going on.
What's happening?
Between the Alamo Draft House and some dudes. Because the Alamo Draft House has decided to do a special screening of the upcoming superhero film Wonder Woman. Next Tuesday, June 6th, they're going to have a female-only screening. Here's how they released their statement, saying, "The most iconic superheroine in comic book history finally has her own movie. And what better way to celebrate than with an all-female screening? Apologies, gentlemen, but we're embracing our girl power and saying no guys allowed for this one special night at the Alamo Ritz." A seemingly clever advertising promotional event to have Wonder Woman, the ultimate fixture of women being empowered, to have a female-only screening.
If you're going to follow this up with some guy sued, I'm going to burn this place down.
Some guy, Kevin... Not some guy. Tons of guys are complaining and protesting against the Alamo Draft House, saying that it's unfair.
Oh, dear Lord.
That a screening should be women only. That the screening's promptly sold out, by the way. And they're going to add even more female-only screenings around the country, said the Alamo Draft House, not being daunted by the complaints and the...
Good for them!
...protesting of these whiny douchebags who say it's unfair and we should be able to be in the same screening.
It's a movie screening.
And, well, the movie ceases to exist after
right,
the
they
screening.
Only show
they
it
can't
once.
See it ever
Then they burn
again.
It afterwards.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, these guys are all complaining, saying it is sexist and unfair.
Wow.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
Right? Come on, fellas.
It's amusing, though, to look at the thread of men that are just...
Yeah, if you go on the Facebook page of the Alamo Draft House, you can read some fascinating responses from these
Equality's equality. You can't have it both ways, ladies.
Reverse sexism.
Have sex once. How dare you, anime boy?
Wow, nerd shaming!
Just always nerd an anime shaming? Avatar.
How
always
dare you?
An anime avatar.
You have some wine. Why don't you and Jacket Flap go outside and have some wine?
That went south so fast.
That's why men are angry, Allie. It's people like you being unfair.
Right? I know. Your tears are delicious.
You going to call him a cuck now?
Cuck. F off, snowflake.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jake the Snake Roberts. Ah, the snake. Right?
Right.
Yep.
Love Jake the Snake. 62 years old today. Actor Ten McGinley. You know, around here is show killer.
That's true.
He went on Happy Days. Unfortunately. Killed it. Went on Married with Children. Killed it. Went on Love Boat. Killed it. He's the guy you bring in. He's the closer. He's the guy you bring in out of the bullpen when you're down 10 runs and you just want to get out of the
game.
You're
tired of making that show.
That's right. 59 years old today. Tom Morello. He's pretty good at what he does.
You think?
He's 53 years old today. Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Celebrates her birthday today. Some know her as Idina Menzel.
Oh.
From Frozen and
why didn't
Broadway
he say it that
fame.
Way?
I don't know why not.
God.
46 years old today. And CeeLo Green. CeeLo Green! His little arms. I just felt bad for him in the voice. How did he push that button? He can't get over there. He
must have been a little extension.
He's like a little T-Rex.
They worked for date rape drugs, though, didn't they?
Wow.
Allegedly.
Thank you.
This Wonder Woman thing's really got her jacked up.
It's on.
I tell you. She's going to put on her bracelets and a tiara and get a shield and a sword. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Shepherd's Beat.
By the way, new this week, we haven't mentioned this yet, is that we are giving away passes to go see Phoenix here at K-Rock in the HD Radio Sound Space coming up next week, June 9th, plus tickets to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl on June 15th. They've been gone
Phoenix
for a long
time.
Phoenix
is still alive?
Phoenix?
Yes.
The band?
The band?
Huh. It's been a couple of years since their last
record. Seems like it's been 10 years.
It really does.
Well, they are back in a big way, and they got a new album getting ready to come out, and they're going to be in Southern California, so you get a chance to see them twice. So your chance to win coming up here on K-Rock later on.
All right. So so I got swindled, I believe. Mm-hmm. Although I'm not positive that's the right word. I may have gotten robbed.
Oh.
Voluntarily.
All right. You tweeted about this on 28th of May, which was what? Was that Saturday night? Is that when this happened?
I believe so, yes.
All right. Pretty sure I just got swindled out of $40.
Uh-huh.
Outside a Chili's restaurant, hashtag I'm not smart.
Right.
So we saw that and thought, I wonder what happened to Kevin. And by the hashtag, it leads me to believe that they didn't just come up with a gun and take it from you.
Right.
Because that's not a reflection on your intelligence. That's a reflection on, you know.
No, I said it was voluntary.
You got robbed. You voluntarily handed over $40.
Right.
All right, let me take a look. Let me just run down some of these suggestions that our listeners weighed in with when they saw your post on social media.
I didn't see any of these, and okay. I know what they all are, though.
Denise says, did they, quote, run out of gas and their kid is in the car?
Are you asking me if that's what happened?
I'll tell you
in a second.
All right. Okay. Albert writes in, not a success.
Correct.
Eugene writes in, Kevin, God damn it. OC710, how does this happen? Oh, never mind. Here's Dale with a suggestion. Did it involve a Nigerian prince?
Just right standing outside the Chili's?
He didn't email you. He was just waiting.
Just standing there.
Mike says, nah, that guy will be back with your weed shortly. Just keep waiting. Mike, please explain. Nuno, I want to hear about this.
Yeah.
Micah writes in, you like the Weezer?
See, that's a reference
joke.
To Bean.
All right. Let me see. Oh, here's Steph. Did they say they were homeless or were raising money for a funeral?
Oh.
I'm going to go with no and no.
All right.
Okay.
Sports player says, Kevin, you bought stereo speakers from a guy in a van?
No.
Victor, fix your goddamn life, Kevin.
Yeah, definitely yes.
Vixie says, details, please. Let's see. Fred says, what the F, Kev dog? How about this? Hey, at least it's not $30 to watch hanging plastic bananas and get two samples of ice cream, right?
It is better than the Museum of Ice Cream.
You
didn't
get ripped off at the ice cream museum.
Right.
Mike says, did you buy magic beans?
No.
What are those?
Aren't
like
those little
dancing?
Those little bouncing beans?
Yeah.
Those little, they just jump around?
Oh, like Mexican jumping beans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a weird guess, right?
That's out there.
And finally, and Jason speaks for many of the people on your social media, well, you deserve that for eating at Chili's. Were you there for the baby back ribs?
Just went to eat, that's all.
Okay.
Just wanted a place to eat, came outside, into the parking lot. And a woman approached me with her kid.
Uh-oh.
Where's the sexy time music now, Chip?
And she said, no, 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 it's not. It's not.
She's like, I know this is unorthodox.
Nope, that didn't happen. So she says, I'm really sorry, sir, but I need some help. My dad died 2 days ago. I'm from New York. All right, now, here's what I want you guys to do. I just want you to tell me at what point red flags would have been going off in your head, because it didn't. In mine until after the whole thing.
Okay.
So I need your help. Mm-hmm. My dad died 2 days ago.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And she's there with her son, or a boy. I'm not sure at this point. All right. So, and my son has diabetes.
Flag.
She's piled
There's
on.
There's too much. Come on. Why are you outside of a Chili's?
Me? I just ate there.
No, sweet spirit. Her with all these problems.
She's in the, it was like a little mall area where there was a lot of people.
Okay.
So she said, she gave me an exact number. She said, I need $149 for his medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm $39 short.
Because her dad died?
No, no. My understanding was, as it was going on, that I'm from New York. I forgot that part. So she said.
Oh, no, you said it, sweetie.
Okay. So she said, my dad died 2 days ago. I'm from New York. Now, I assume that that meant her dad was here.
Is there a sickle?
No.
Okay.
Her dad was here, and she had to come out because he died. That's what I assumed in my mind. Okay. My kid needs medicine. I get. So then I put two and two together, and I came up with three, I think, and said, and I think she came out to see dad's funeral. No, I know that two and two does not equal three, but I'm saying there may have been a misfire in my mind that it's possible because she said, my dad died 2 days ago. I'm out here from New York. My kid needs medicine. So already flags are going off in your head? Because to me, I was able to make it make sense.
You were thinking that he needed his medicine, but it's in New York, so she had to get a different prescription and it was more expensive.
That's exactly what I thought.
Okay.
So she said, I talked to like 20 people. No one would even help me at all. And the little kid was just standing there looking at me. And I just need, if I got $39 more, I'd be able to get his medicine. And she pulled out what looked like
A blood tester?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what gave it some credence to me.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, she's actually got the needle or whatever it is. Whatever the medication is for diabetes, she had with her, but it was empty, but she needed a refill or something. So I was like, look.
Like insulin or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, look, I happen to have $40 on me and the top hat from a Monopoly game and a yo-yo. and I bought it and I gave her the $40. Now, at this point.
And you're feeling pretty good about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're helping a lady out with a kid.
I felt pretty good about it for about 6 seconds. And then the woman walked to a waiting car where a guy was driving it, and it was just, he was waiting for her. It was already running.
Yeah, they were headed right to CVS. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, that's when I went, oh, no.
Oh.
No. They're probably just going from place to place, right? And she's using the kid, right?
Yeah.
So I wasted my $40, right? Is that what happened?
Look, since there's no way to know, why not just say, I'm so happy they were able to get the kid that medicine? Since there's no way to know.
I don't know. My daughter saw it, and she looked at me, and she said, uh-oh. And I said, did we just get ripped off?
Aww.
Of course, I said we, but it was me. But I like to put some of my guilt on her, because that helps me get through life.
Spread it around, right?
Right. But there was a car waiting. The guy was in the driver's seat. It was already running.
Yeah.
So, what do you think happened? Do you think I got ripped off?
Yeah.
I think it's...
Fiend, did I get ripped off?
I think it's more likely than not.
Did I get
ripped off? But, again, you don't know. You don't know.
I didn't know.
Right?
But,
look.
It's not a great feeling.
No.
I don't know who was the guy, I wonder.
Yeah, well, clearly she was with him because she walked right to the car and got in.
We know it wasn't her dad.
We do know that.
You know what? We don't even know that.
We do not know that. You're right.
I don't think there was. I feel like I just relieved of $40.
Well, that's a good way of putting
that
it.
That was probably weighing me down somehow,
sure.
Right?
That's God's way of telling you you've got too goddamn much money.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Because I felt like I was trying to help, but I don't feel like I helped anything except for perhaps a beer.
Here's the thing. The only thing you're thinking now is, did I get swindled?
Yes.
If you didn't give that $40, you'd be thinking, is that little boy okay? Oh. So which one would you rather feel, Kevin?
Boom. Boom.
Suck it. Right?
Yep. I think I'd rather have my $40.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are live. It is a Tuesday morning. Kevin and Mitchell back from the holiday weekend. We thought we might check in like we do in the newsroom at TMZ.com with our good friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. Doing great. How are you, sir? How was your weekend?
A lot of work.
Sound like you're under duress. You okay?
You know, something just just happened. Can you just hold 1 second? I'm sorry.
Sure. 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 Yeah.
Let's listen. Let's listen in.
What just happened?
Hey, I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Everything all right?
Yep. No. It's just the Tiger Woods story.
Ah. Okay. I'm fascinated with the Tiger Woods story because this statement that he issued, not drinking prescription medicine at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no. Look.
First of all, catch everybody up on why he was pulled over and when and all that.
Okay, so he was arrested at 3 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and cops say he was driving under the influence. He was taken to jail. He was booked. Now,
and they smelled alcohol in his breath when they took him out of the car.
I'm going to give you two different stories here.
Okay.
His story is that there was no alcohol involved. That he had been taking prescription meds. He had had back surgery a month before. And he was taking full responsibility for it, and he was fully cooperative with the cops. We broke several stories yesterday, and we had talked to law enforcement sources out there. They told us he was all over the road driving. They pulled him over. They said he was arrogant. They said the cop who came up to his window said he smelled alcohol in his breath, that he refused to feel a breathalyzer test, and they arrested him. So those are somewhat different stories. You're right. It's weird. Why was he out at 3 in the morning if this is a mix of prescription meds?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question. You know, he's clearly going to plead no contest, so there won't be a trial here. And that's smart because if he he's still got endorsements. And if he fights this thing, it's not going to be good for his future.
Right.
So what he's going to do is he's going to, you know, plead no contest, say it was prescriptions. You know, he had back surgery, so it's the least bad thing he can get. But, you know, there are these other, you know, people out there that we've talked to, and the stories seem to differ. But those are the two stories.
Hmm. Now, look, he's allowed to go out whenever he wants. I mean, he's not under, you know, he's a human who lives in the world, and if he wants to be out.
No, of course.
I mean, he is a human that lives in the world. That is
no, but what I'm saying, I'm trying not to be overly suspicious of the fact that it was 3 o'clock in the morning, but you combine that with driving all over the road, being arrogant to the police, and the smell of alcohol in his breath, it sounds like a guy who's coming back with a load on. That's what it sounds like.
It is weird to me that he would be going out or out just with prescription meds in his system. Why?
He have back surgery a month ago, and I don't know anything about this story, but I will tell you this, having been on prescription drugs before. They can clash in ways that you can't really anticipate. That doesn't necessarily – I'm not necessarily taking his side. I'm just saying sometimes you don't really know how they're going to interact.
No. That's absolutely true. And it may, who knows? It could be prescription drugs. You know, our sources said we can't tell you if there was alcohol.
Right.
Because all we could say is a cop said he smelled it.
Right.
That doesn't mean there is. And he, you know, according to the person, you know, the sources say that he refused the breathalyzer. Now, he is saying he fully cooperated, so it seems there's a conflict in the two
stories. Okay, if he refuses the breathalyzer, when he gets back to the police station, don't they do a blood test? And
will we
get the results?
Well, I don't know if they did.
Oh, we don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
That's a hell of a mugshot, though.
The cops are not talking.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So his girlfriend was at a Neiman Marcus in Dallas when she got the call, and she started crying in the store saying, I knew it, I knew it.
Oh, no.
and got extremely upset, but then bought $5,000 worth of stuff and left.
Listen, we all work through our problems.
I'll still take all of this. Oh, don't get me wrong. I want all of the outfits.
Well, look, she was having a rough day. That made her feel a little better.
Get some shoes. Wait, Harvey, you said that your sources said they kept calling the police all morning to ask if the cop had a body cam on?
Yeah, they were called. That's what we were told, that they wanted to see if there was a body cam.
So is that so they could keep doubling down on it?
I can't tell you why, because nobody is talking.
People.
But I can say that it looks like there is a dash cam, and the cops may release it as early as today.
Okay. Harvey, follow up on one more thing that I saw online yesterday, and I don't remember what the source was, but I don't believe it unless it comes from you, and that is that ESPN photoshopped Tiger's mugshot to make him look better.
Is that true?
Oh,
that's what I read.
I mean, we put the mug up so you can compare the two.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, the mugshot that you put up is the one that I have seen in most official news sources, but I read a story that said that ESPN had cleaned up his hair and they put it on their site.
I hadn't seen that.
I think it might be worth looking into that and seeing if that's true.
I will do a side-by-side.
All right, look for TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4 p.m. and TMZ Sports during Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Hey, don't forget, especially summertime with people coming to town, why not try the TMZ tour? You can get that in information and book at TMZ.com as well. Harvey, thank you for the time, sir. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, guys. We'll
thank you. Our friend Sean Hannessy, who plays Pope on Animal Kingdom, returning tonight on TNT, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning here on K-Rock. Also, last night was the Bachelorette Report. Ralph and Petros are going to be here at 7:30 to break it down for us. Has Rachel fallen in love yet, Kevin?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I can't imagine there's anyone there that she wants to fall in love with.
Oh. Really? You got no favorites of the group. Huh?
The guys are just idiots. They're all just idiots. Speaking of idiots, hey, Dave, the King of Mexico, did you go to a hotel this weekend and shave your beard?
Why, yes, I did.
Trim it?
Yeah, a little trim. Clean up.
Because he can't trim it at home.
Right.
And
right.
It looks
not
allowed.
So I wasn't at home this weekend, so, you know, it was a good opportunity.
So it was okay.
Yeah.
It was a good time to
get a little cleanup.
And by good opportunity, you were allowed to.
You were allowed,
allowed to trim
your beard because you were in a hotel and not at home.
I just want to point that out. Good times.
Okay.
Dave, you're something else. All right. We need some help, by the way. And this might be a good opportunity to have some people call in if they want to weigh in on this as we describe what went down. 1-800-520-1067, or you can always text us at the same number as well. But we're having a little bit of a discussion off air about something that I think is super creepy. Others agree with me. I think most of the room is on my side on this one.
Mm-hmm. Super creepy. Bean was at a Chili's.
No, that wasn't me. Dave doesn't have any problem with what this person did and posted on social media. So we want to talk about this and see if we can come to some sort of conclusion. Again, 1-800-520-1067 to call or text on this. All right. So shall I tell the story what happened?
All right. Please.
So my wife's on Facebook the other day, and she sees a post on an artist that she follows who she is a fan of. In fact, we own two or three paintings by this artist, so she follows him on Facebook. One of his followers posted onto his page a photograph of the guy's artwork through the window of somebody's house. Person was walking down the street, saw this artist's painting hanging in a home, and stopped on the street and took a photograph through the dining room window of this painting.
Do you know how far it was?
I do, Kevin, because it was my house. So, yes, I know exactly how far away you'd have to be to get that picture.
Could he have done it with a cell phone is my question. Like, or did he have to have a real lens?
Like a telephoto,
telephoto lens?
No, I think he could have done it with a cell phone.
Okay.
My house is on the street in a city.
Right.
So there's a sidewalk in front of my house. So you could be standing on the other side of the fence looking at or into my house from about 15 feet away, I would say.
And that's why you walk around nude most times, if I'm not mistaken.
So this person takes a photograph over my fence, across my porch, into the window, to the back wall of my dining room to show this, to take this painting that's on the wall. Posts it to the artist page and says, hey, I'm walking around the Garden District in New Orleans, and I saw one of your paintings. And that's on this dude's page. Now, imagine my wife's surprise when she comes across a picture of her house on Facebook in somebody else's feed.
And by the way, it's up on @KevinandBean Facebook and @KevinandBean Twitter. You can see it right now.
See the photo. Okay, good. I'm glad we're spreading that around. All right. So Because it's like not creepy enough that the first dude did it. Now we're doing it.
Along with the address.
Yeah. Come on. So I says to Dave, I says, I feel a little bit violated that somebody took a picture inside my house and posted it on the internet. To which Dave replied,
that's not that creepy.
Now, wait a minute. Not that creepy or not creepy?
Okay, it's not creepy. I don't think it. In this instance, I don't think it's creepy.
In this instance, they weren't. It wasn't Bean and it wasn't his wife.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If it was a person and, like, you know, focusing in on somebody, yes, that's okay. Creepy. But in this instance, I think someone, and as you can see from the photo, he put that he was a little drunk and saw. Yeah, that helps. Well, that doesn't help. But he saw something that kind of surprised him, and he's a fan of it. He felt like he wanted to show it to the artist that, hey, look, I found something of yours on the street, and he snapped a photo.
Was it on the street?
Well, you know, he was walking by. Right. But he snapped a photo of it and just shared it with the artist. It wasn't like he stalked out Bean's house or, you know, zoomed in somewhere deep inside the house. He was passing by, saw it, took a quick photo, and moved on, hopefully.
But hopefully. You have no information.
Hopefully.
By the way, somebody also pooped in my front yard. I don't know if that's related or not.
Wait,
what?
Okay.
No, I was kidding about that. Oh. But it doesn't seem a little bit invasive, though, to take a picture inside somebody's house. Even though, granted, you can see it from the street, that does that make it public domain? I mean, like I think, Allie, you pointed this out off the air. If somebody's looking across into somebody's apartment and they've got their windows open, does that mean it's okay to take a picture of them when they're changing? You know what I mean?
That's different, though, because that's – I mean, if you're stalking someone while they're changing, that's way different. That's creepy because that's, you know, you're seeing something that you're probably not supposed to see.
Are you making the distinction between people and no people?
Yes. Okay. This is an object. This is something – this is a piece of art.
Well, and obviously, I think we all agree.
You know what I mean?
But less creepy, yeah. But it's still creepy.
But I'm saying, like, if I'm walking down the block and I see someone has a giant Kevin and Bean thing inside their house, I'll probably be like,
"You
hey.
Would burn it down."
Well, I'd be like, "Oh, this person has bad taste,
bad yeah. choice."
But I'd be like, "Oh, I'm sure the guys would want to see this." Boom, click, send it to you guys.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Would you send it to us privately, or would you put it on
well,
Facebook?
Well, I know you guys privately, so I mean, I'll send it to you privately. But
I see, but he didn't know the
if
artist.
A fan of you guys saw something, I'm sure they would take the picture and send it to you guys or post it on Facebook or something in order so you guys can see it.
I think I'm going to say don't take pictures through people's windows at their homes.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm going to say.
You know, but, and your
that's
windows
my
were
policy.
Wide open. So it's not like
– Oh, so
like,
now you're victim blaming. Oh, I see.
Your windows
you
were
do.
Open, Bean.
No.
It
you
was
know?
My fault because
yeah,
curtains weren't closed.
The windows
but
were wearing.
It's not like this painting was in the backyard or somewhere where he had to like – hop
maneuver
over.
To see it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how far he zoomed in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I just thought that it's maybe a guy who was just a little, you know, maybe wasn't thinking and just snapped it real quick. And
I mean,
so
your defense, your defense for your position
instance,
is that the guy wasn't thinking.
In this instance, I don't think it's that bad. It's
I am
creepy.
Totally on Dave's side, yet he's doing the worst possible job
yes,
defending
please.
That side.
Yes.
Please help me here,
I got Ralph.
Here's two
I'm gonna
things.
Shut up now.
Here's two things. Can it be seen from the street is the first question.
And the answer is yes.
Okay. And secondly, why do you display art? Is it for people to look at?
It's for me to look at. It's for me to enjoy in my home. It's not on display. This painting wasn't lent to a museum so others could enjoy it. It's in my house for my enjoyment.
Then maybe you should pull your drapes.
Yeah, the drapes are open.
I mean,
they could be seen from the street, and the guy took the picture from the street.
It still feels a little creepy to me. Because that means if Bean has the curtains open and he's walking by, it's the sort of the same thing. It's inside his house, private.
Well, Bean is art. I've said it for years.
You have said that a lot.
It's right. Different than taking a picture of a person.
It is. I agree.
Yeah. It's a picture of a painting.
It's worse. I agree.
We're talking about degrees of creepiness, though. They're both
no,
creepy,
we're not.
I think.
I don't we're not talking about creepy. Degrees of creepy at all. One is creepy and one is not. If you take a picture of a painting, which is a piece of art, and then you relay that photo to the artist saying, is this your work?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a very specific reason for taking that photograph and for contacting that person. It's not just some guy's generally taking pictures of people's houses through their windows.
So if it were you, though, Ralph, and you stumbled across on Facebook today a picture of your living room taken from the street in front of your house, it wouldn't bother you?
No. Not if it was a picture of my living room?
Yeah.
Yes. A picture of a painting on my wall that was sent to the artist of the painting? No, that would not bother me.
So
it's very
this is
different.
A specific enough example that you think there's no creepiness. There's an exception.
The art from Joe Schmo.
That's a great question.
Let's talk to I had that hanging in front of my house, so they wouldn't have to go through the window.
The outside
Let's
wall.
Talk to Sean real quick. Toluca Lake, 1-800-520-1067. Line one.
Hey, Sean.
Good morning, folks. How is everyone today?
We are good. Thank you.
Creepy or not creepy?
Not creepy at all. If you don't want to share it, close your goddamn blinds.
Sean, boom.
Wow.
Drops the mic.
All right, let's get a second opinion from Vicky, Los Alamitos, line
two. Because you didn't
like Sean? No, it's just there are other approaches.
Real quick. All right, Vicky in Los Alamitos, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Allie, Ralph.
Hey, Vicky.
Oh. Hey, I get it. Yeah, you have your windows open. You want to display it, but it is creepy, and I kind of think you should ask Harvey Levin.
Ask Gail. So you think it's illegal?
I do. I think...
based
you know,
on what?
Tom,
based on what, Vicky? The Peeping Tom laws?
Yeah, you just can't look in people's windows and start snapping pictures and then posting them on social media.
That's from the street?
That's the Peeping Picasso law you're thinking of. It's a very different law.
I feel like I agree with Vicky, although she's not on solid ground.
Not at all. Not legally.
She's a moving target, but I think I'm with her. So
you want to give her $40?
LA NOC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Foos! Hey,
right?
It's Foo Fighters!
Right?
That's right.
Foo Fighters!
Right? And that's Ralph Garman with our Showbiz Beat.
Are the best.
Correct.
Here's another reason on the long list of reasons that the Foo Fighters are the best. Dave's there with his pals. They're playing their first show, really, in the States in a couple of years. First big show, anyway. It was this Bottle Rock Music Festival in Napa Valley. I'm surprised you weren't there, Allie, because it's all rock and wine.
Yeah.
It's a combination. I know
what a
wine connoisseur you are.
Huge on the wine.
And they were having the Bottle Rock Festival there over the Memorial Day weekend, and Foos were closing out the Sunday night performance. And here's the thing. They were going along. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's enjoying themselves. And then the clock struck 10. And if you remember anything about Cinderella, when the clock strikes 10, the ball is over.
Okay, I thought it was midnight.
All right, it may have been midnight, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
They have a strict 10 p.m. curfew there because you don't want to keep the grapes awake. I don't understand why it's a strict 10 p.m. curfew.
I think it's the people who live nearby.
F those people. It's a party, and it's Foo Fighters at 10.
But it's the same thing with the people who live next to the Hollywood Bowl. That's why they have a curfew, is because people want to go to sleep.
Ugh.
Says old man Bean.
Right, exactly. He's so pro them. they should make it 7 o'clock so we can be tucked in early. Don't take pictures in my window. Anyway, 10 o'clock comes and they're not fooling. Boom. Someone throws one of those big cartoon switches
and
the power goes off.
Is that right?
And the Foos are in the middle of Everlong. Now, a lesser band, a band made of mere mortals,
right,
would have stopped performing at that moment.
Maybe stormed off, even.
But not our Foos. Not our heroes, the Foo Fighters. They just kept on going. They turned it from electric to acoustic.
Love it.
And kept playing. I think we have a little audio of that. No, we don't have any audio of that at all.
I think they're trying
That's
to scare
I meant
it up.
To say. I meant to say we have no audio of that whatsoever. Anyway, they continued and finished Everlong before bidding farewell to the crowd. And it was a great moment.
That's pretty cool.
So it was, yeah. They're the best.
I saw them at Lollapalooza, and it was raining so hard. About 80% of the audience left, and they just stood up there and just finished their whole set. They just rocked the whole thing.
Nothing scares them.
Nope.
They're the best.
Love them.
Let's take a look at what happened over the weekend at the box office. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. That's what happened. $77 million for the
fifth yes. They're done now, though, right?
Listen, you don't watch them.
Yeah,
you
why
don't
do you care.
Why do you? Why does it bother you one way or the other?
I was just curious. I was just asking.
The ending is not at all
the end.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't feel like the end at all.
It's setting up a whole other
Feels
series.
Like, oh, there's a new adventure over that horizon for me.
Yep.
And then, whoa, what that guy's back? You kidding me?
And she's back? What?
And those two, and then they're the other ones.
So the answer is no.
Were you able to make out Paul McCartney as a pirate during the movie?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
I didn't notice.
Oh, my what now?
Is that a question? I didn't notice.
How could you not? They stopped the movie and pretty much make it the Paul McCartney show for about 8 minutes.
What?
What part?
You goddamn you. I will put you in the back of my trunk and you will get such jacket flapping from the speeds that I reach. When they're pulling Jack Sparrow out of the jail and they're going to hang him,
right?
He stops and talks to his uncle behind the bars there. And his uncle says, "Yo, if they're going to disembowel you, make sure to ask for Victor. He's got very soft hands." You know the guy who talked like that?
Yeah,
who looked just like Paul McCartney in a beard?
I recognize
that was Paul McCartney.
I recognize that line word for word, yeah. But I didn't.
What
notice.
About when he's saying, "Maybe I'm amazed"?
I don't think
no?
that happened.
Kevin, did you see the movie?
I did. I saw the movie.
So, a skeleton walks into a bar and he says, "Give me a beer and a mop."
You really didn't know it was him.
I recognize all of those words, word for word. I had no idea it was Paul McCartney.
They couldn't. If there was a neon sign flashing in the background, there couldn't have been more. Hey, this is our big cameo moment. Look, get a hold of Paul McCartney.
Kevin, goddamn it!
Sorry. So it stood out, is what you're saying, Ralph?
It was so.
It was jarring.
It
maybe.
Went off like fireworks in the middle of the film. They stop the movie. It comes to a complete halt, so they can say, "Hey, look at this guy. It's Paul McCartney. Ain't this something?"
I mean, I get it when you can't follow American Gods, but when you can't follow Pirates of the Caribbean,
how
I get concerned.
I followed it. I heard it. I got the joke.
But then you wonder, why are they spending so much time focusing on this dude, this bit part guy in the cell?
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Thank you, sir.
Nope.
Is that not a compliment?
It really isn't.
I like that.
You're a miracle,
right? Does it make me like myself more that I missed the fact that it was Paul McCartney? No, it does not, Ralph.
Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are returning with our show we like to call Hollywood Babylon. No. It's all happening on stage at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
We have a pretty good time, and I think you will, too. It's this Friday, 10 p.m. at The Late Show. Love to have you come out and join us. Go to improv.com. Get your tickets there. And
point of order, I don't accept this offer.
It's amazing. They're both named Kevin, and yet you'll find that they are diametrically opposed in almost every way. I guarantee you,
Kevin Smith and I.
Kevin Smith knew exactly who Paul McCartney was.
Yeah.
In the course of that film.
Yeah,
and has never hung up on him.
That's true. Never hung up on Paul. Maybe that's why you didn't recognize him, because you hung up on him and you didn't want to deal with those horrible memories.
Maybe I literally don't know who he is.
Maybe it's true. Have you heard of the Beatles? Are you familiar with that group at all? Remember when you hung up on Paul McCartney?
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
He was saying goodbye.
In my defense.
What did you think of the show, Bean, by the way?
Oh, it was terrific. I absolutely went there.
I was reeling by that. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, hope to see you at the show.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, why go that far over the top when you're lying? Just say, yeah.
Why lie that hard?
Right,
take it easy.
You could pull a muscle lying that hard.
I'd like to submit to the jurors that I was distracted. And that's why I hung up.
Completely understandable. I would have been a little winded, too, from that level of just sheer audacity to lie to the man's face.
If I were a different kind of person, that's a show I would have gone to and enjoyed.
Right, but you aren't, so don't lie so hard.
Well, what do you say? Nope,
you
not
going
to go to the show.
No, thanks for the invite.
Just lie lightly.
Oh, thanks for the invite. That's good. I'll remember that for next time.
Oh, I hope to see the show. Oh, thanks so much for the invite, Paul.
I like that. That's real good.
Absolutely! I'd probably be playing on stage with you. I'll see you next stage.
That 5 seconds sums up Kevin Bean in a nutshell, doesn't it?
It really does. Just dumb liars.
Come on. There's more to us than being dumb and liars.
Is there?
No, I guess not.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jake the Snake Roberts is 62. Ted McGinley is 59. Tom Morello is 53. Idina Menzel. No, that's right. I'm sorry. 46 years old today. And CeeLo Green is 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next week, it's the return of the band Phoenix, you guys, performing live in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. That'll be on June 9th. We got tickets you can win for that coming up in less than an hour. Plus, you get a chance to see the band again at the Hollywood Bowl on June 15th from the world-famous K-Rock.
Remember, they headlined Coachella one year.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix, they were so huge.
Then they're a really good band.
Yeah, agreed.
Hey, former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Lightning, joins us in studio. How are you, man?
Morning, guys and girl. How you doing?
Are you you're a motorcycle rider, right?
Yes, I've been riding since I got my driver's license back at 16.
Good. I'm glad you're here for this, because we have had a raging debate going on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page about this video that came out a few days ago of a guy who runs into the back of a car. Now, you are a little more familiar with this video than I am. You even know where it was shot, right?
Yeah. So I looked at the video almost frame by frame because I couldn't believe that Bean thought this thing was fake.
Super fake.
Yeah.
Explain what happens.
Guy is northbound. He's on a sport bike. And which is the kind of cafe style, you're bent over, not like a cruiser.
Right.
He's going about 80 miles an hour northbound on the 170 freeway through North Hollywood.
So it's already his fault if he runs into someone going 80 miles an hour.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I couldn't see the speedometer, but at the rate he's passing cars, he's probably doing 80.
I think you never want to pass cars that quickly because of this.
Right, right. And he's approaching the Burbank Boulevard exit. He is in the carpool lane, and a-hole in a new Toyota Corolla pulls across the double yellow, cuts
slowly,
but yeah. And so the traffic in the number one lane is doing, I don't know, looks like maybe 40, 50, something like that, much slower. And he can't stop in time. He rear-ends the car. He flies onto the trunk lid. And the
allegedly.
Guy, he flies onto the trunk lid, and he realizes, okay, I'm still alive. And he starts pounding on the window, back window, stop. And the guys finally come to a stop. He gets out, realizes he's okay, and he walks over to the driver's window, and he starts screaming at the guy, pulls up his lid, and it's like, what are you doing? You almost killed me.
I was on your car. Why wouldn't you stop?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, whoever wrote this sketch didn't write any lines for the driver of the car, because he just sits there like a dumbass and doesn't have anything to say.
Here's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Stop. I can't believe you right now, dude. I cannot believe you. Are you joking me right now? Bro, are you kidding me? You know, I almost just died, bro. I was on top of your car.
Bro had nothing to say.
No. Two guys looked baked out of their minds inside. Right. Illinois license plate, so they may or may not have any clue about our, you know, the double yellow. I don't know.
Doesn't the double yellow pretty much mean everything in the same
not
thing?
In Illinois.
I don't know.
Very different.
With some places with a carpool, they have a white, you know, which is a safety. You can cross it. Even the California, it's kind of confusing in some spots.
I think double yellow means double yellow, though.
So anyway, these guys, they're sitting there like they're stunned. They're deer in headlight. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're just not saying anything. I don't think it's bogus. I think the guy has just realized they almost killed a guy and they're freaked out, or they're just
baked. Second you're driving and the next second you get hit and a guy is on your trunk yelling at you. I would be stunned.
Yeah.
All right. Let me throw out a couple of things here. And again, if you want to see this video or join the conversation, it's up at the Kevin Beaton Facebook page. And we invite your calls, your thoughts, your texts at 1-800-520-1067. First of all, where do I start with this?
How can you be so incensed?
Because, look, it's
how
not that I've
so
been
confident about
it's
that.
Just so obviously fake.
But it's not.
I'm trying to think how many times they would have had to have shot this scene if they were filming it for a movie in order to have such a smooth transition between being on the motorcycle and being on the back of the car.
It did seem unlikely.
It really seemed like that was a one in a million shot, the way the thing is shot, and the fact that the guy doesn't take a beat. There's no shock at all. He immediately continues narrating the video as if he knew it was coming.
When's the last time you were in an accident, Bean?
I mean, many years.
When you're in an accident, you don't immediately go into a shock. Right. There is a period at which you get out of the car. If you're in a car and you walk around, you're looking at you. Oh, my God, my car. Your leg is half falling off. But you're walking around the car going, oh, my bumper is scratched. And nothing sets in right away.
Not what this guy is doing. If this guy were screaming his head off like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. Oh, my God. If he was freaking out that he just left his motorcycle and ended up on the trunk of this guy's car, that would be understandable. But it's almost like he's narrating it like so calmly because it was rehearsed and choreographed.
I just
That's
think
what it seemed like.
This is his particular reaction to this situation.
Who would rehearse and choreograph this?
A guy who's trying to make a viral video. That's who. A guy who's
incredibly dangerous to you for them.
Look, I mean, people started wearing GoPros and contours and all these cameras on their helmets because the stuff happens so regularly to bikes.
Right? And by the way, I am in, and a lot of people are making this on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. A lot of people are making these comments. I 100% believe that this happens multiple times every single day where somebody makes an illegal lane change and a motorcycle runs into them and the motorcyclist goes down. What I'm saying never happens is the motorcyclist transitions from the back of his bike onto the trunk of the car seamlessly. That's what I'm saying doesn't happen.
It was pretty smooth.
You guys remember last year, the year before, where there was a guy, I think it was in Germany, and he runs up on a car and he hits the car and then he flips over and he lands and he's standing both feet straight up on the back of the car doing 60 miles an hour?
Yeah, that was like just Superman insane. Move,
and that was real. So that kind of sets the precedent. Like, that guy did a front flip and landed on the car, and it kept going.
All right, let's talk to a motorcyclist who says that this happened to him.
Yes. Okay.
Ed, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
This right, is your guy, Kevin, right?
Talk, Ed.
This is your dude.
That was a pretty big setup. Okay, so, Ed, this happened to you?
Yes, the same exact thing happened to me on the 405 northbound. Somebody jumped over the double yellow line. I hit him, but I flew over the car that cut me off, and I landed on the back of the car in front of him.
Oh, I see, because that was some of us were arguing that he would fly further than just the trunk of the car of the guy he hit.
Mm-hmm.
And this Ed's saying he flew over the car, right?
I flew over the car, crashed through the back window of the car in front of him, and then kept flying again. Landed in front of that car on the freeway.
See, that was one of the arguments on Friday. Was
and I don't quite want to say I get how physics work, but if he was going 80 and the car is cutting him off at 40, how did he land so gently on the back of the car? He should have at least flown over it or flown right through
the
windshield.
Professor.
We'd have to put this on a dry erase board and have a lot of X and Y coordinates. Like, I think this is definitely possible.
Ed, I'm glad you called, though. Thank you so much. Let's try Courtney Chino, line 3. She may have a family connection to the driver of the motorcycle.
Oh, hey, Courtney.
Hi.
So you have a family connection?
Yeah, that's my brother-in-law.
Which one? The motorcyclist or the guy driving the car?
The motorcyclist.
Then why is he trying to put this fake video out there like it's real?
It is real.
That's your brother-in-law.
Yeah, he got pretty hurt. He hurt his back, he hurt his leg.
He should have gotten pretty hurt.
Well, yeah. Bean, but the point is, it's real.
I don't believe it.
Well, so wait, we can get his number. Let's talk to the dude.
Courtney, can we talk to the dude?
Well, I don't have him with me.
No, of course not. I'm saying, can we track him down? We'll put you on hold. Maybe we talk to him tomorrow.
Pretty sure I can tell him that you guys want to talk to him. Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll do that. Sure. I'll tell him to his face.
What? What do you mean you'll tell him to his face?
I'll tell him to his face.
You mean he'll listen?
Faker.
You'll listen to what he has to say, and then you'll decide.
You want the insurance claim? Is that what's happening
with you? Oh, he's got the insurance claim, Bean.
Courtney, we'll put you on hold. We'll get some information. Let me ask you something else about this light.
You just talked
to the person who's related to him.
Who lies because she's family member. Okay, let me ask you this, though. Doesn't it seem unlikely the two dope heads that were sitting in the car, okay, doesn't it seem unlikely they would just sit there and get berated by this guy? If I know anything about human nature, I know that as soon as that guy is...
You don't know anything about human nature.
If I know anything, I know that... Once that guy stands there and starts yelling at them for making that illegal transition, you know what they do?
What?
Step on the gas and drive out of that frame and you never see them again. That's what they do.
They don't
sit around and wait for the police.
I think that's true. I think you're stunned.
You look right at the dude and on the top of his helmet he's got a camera. Like, there's a lot going on
there. Here's the statement that we all need to focus on. Bean saying, if I know anything about humans.
Right.
He did say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Cyborg.
Last night was the Bachelorette. That's why we have the Bachelorette Report coming up in about 10 minutes here on the world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:26.
You can be all excited about that if you want. I'm still reeling from missing the Funeral Expo in Amsterdam. I go every year, but I just couldn't make it this year. And they unveil so much good stuff, too. You know, there was a time, guys, where everybody got buried, and then somebody said, hey, why don't we cremate? And that became the thing. And now there are a bunch of new things that are on the way. For instance, creating vegetable patches out of the remains of your loved ones.
Vegetable
patch?
How do you do
that? You put the ashes in a spot and grow plants.
I think
there.
I don't think so. I think it's just above the grave. It has nothing to do with ashes or the body.
No, it's just the location. My understanding is that you grow things that are part of the person that you lost, and that's a way that they can live on.
And then
you
can eat them. Very morbid and wrong.
I think that's what I heard.
I think it's just, you know how there's a grave site? They just use that grave site as a vegetable garden.
I'm not sure that's true.
I don't know. I'm reading it.
There are other ways, too, you can remember your loved one, but I'm not going to attempt to describe them to you because we have an expert on the line, the Funeral Expo organizer from the Netherlands, Van Schalk, joins us here on K-Rock. Hello, Mr. Schalk. How are you?
Okay, let's talk with some things first.
Okay. All right.
Do we have to?
Like, my name is Peter.
Peter.
Peter Van Schaik.
Peter Van Schaik. Oh, I'm sorry. I just see Van Schaik on
not
this.
Not Van Schalk. Okay. Whatever you said. And why is it you could not be bothered to read the article before the radio program began?
I actually did skim it.
It your job.
I did skim that.
You
know, and,
did you skim?
I
did. Did you skim the part where it says the vegetables are not in any way connected to the remains so that there's no contamination when you grow the vegetables?
I mean, that does make more sense when you describe it like that.
But you said it was using the actual remains to grow things out of. Yeah.
That was my mistake.
How does that help us?
Sorry, Peter. I misunderstood that.
Yes, it's just simply a way to conserve space.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you have the grave site, and then on top of that, in the individual self-contained areas, the vegetables are grown on top of the departed one.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds cool, I guess.
Yeah.
So
not what you said at all.
No, but better.
Yes.
So the Funeral Expo is all about what's new with death.
Right.
Okay.
Not so much death. Because death is nothing new with death. It's the same old death.
Death is the same.
Yes,
okay.
Death has really remained a constant in the equation.
Right, but after death.
But the things we do afterwards, in terms of burials and funerals and things,
right.
That is changing. But death, still the same.
Okay.
All right.
What's new with urns? Urns have become
urns,
very popular.
A lot going on with urns.
Okay. Are there? Okay.
We have 3D printed urns in the shape of your deceased person's head.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you put the ashes in the head. So the head is like on a mantelpiece staring at you going, I'm full of ashes.
That seems super creepy.
Yeah, right? How good is that? we're working on a self-tanner made out of ashes.
Nope.
A what?
A self-tanner.
Made out of ashes.
Yeah, this way your loved one can be, turned into like with a lanolin and aloe vera base, and then you just rub it all over you, and
no.
then you just get a nice tan from a dead person.
Huh. Oh, Peter.
It's better when it comes, if you're African-American or Hispanic.
Okay.
If you rub a white person all over you, it just gets white.
Yeah, it doesn't help you at all.
Yeah.
Right.
For the kids, we have little plastic building blocks where you can build your own coffin. And your own hearse and your crematorium. It's like Lego, but it's like Death-O.
Okay, but why would little kids want to play with that? I don't see what the draw is.
Aha! You see? This is because it helps them deal with and understand the concept of death and what happens afterwards.
Huh. I don't think little kids need to be worried about dying, though, do they?
No, they don't worry because early on we teach them it's a natural thing, and so they don't worry about that.
Oh, I see. All right. If you say so.
Another way we do that is we can make a sippy cup out of a skull.
Nope.
Well, that's...
human skull.
That's not...
Peter.
Yeah, nothing like a kid drinking Hawaiian punch out of grandpa.
That's awful,
right?
Peter.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
No, we're saying no.
We have coffins, too. The coffins are changing. We have new kinds of coffins.
Okay.
We have a coffin... which has a game of shuffleboard on top. Where you can play shuffleboard. You can slide the wooden pucks on top of the coffin.
Have you sold one of those?
Yeah, people love the game.
Okay.
We have another coffin with a brass polder coming out of it.
Oh, no.
So if you're a single guy, you can invite the ladies over and they can do a little grinded bump on your coffin. You're like, I like this a lot. Right? Even in the afterworld, you can make it rain.
I don't feel like sex and death go together. I'm sorry.
Oh, you couldn't be more wrong.
Okay.
We have another coffin. It is a giant vibrating coffin. Like a Sibian coffin.
Oh, no.
Where the girlfriend of the wife sits on the coffin.
Okay, right.
And the guy's inside the coffin, mm-hmm. and the coffin is vibrating.
Right.
And, oh, everybody has a good time. We say it's for the couple that's coming and going.
Okay. Oh, I've been looking forward to this all weekend long. I think of the hours that Ralph and Petra save us by not having us watch The Bachelorette, just being here for the recap. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves The Bachelorette. Yeah. With Petra's Papa Dick, he's always watching it. Yeah. Watching dumb dudes without any regret. It's the report on The Bachelorette.
Ow! Hey, P.
Yo.
P, it was a star-studded Bachelorette last night.
Yeah, they're really whipping out the big guns these days.
I think this season's going to be all about the spectacular guest stars.
Network TV. Well, you know Kareem needs the money.
Wait, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was on the show?
He was on the show and was the basketball coach for the game amongst the bachelors who are vying for Rachel's heart.
But I got nothing for Kutcher and Kunis. I don't know why they would show up.
Because Mila Kunis is the perfect woman, that's why.
Because they're huge fans of the show. And so as part of the challenge where the guys had to prove they were husband material for Rachel, there were Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis as judges and referees of the event.
Why did they have to blur out the baby poop?
Yeah, I couldn't understand that either. We know it's not real poop. The guys had to change diapers on a doll.
Uh-huh.
They had to change the diaper on the doll.
So it was like chocolate or something.
Yeah, so when you took the diaper off, they had realistic substance there to replicate.
And they blurred it?
And they blurred it out.
Huh. What?
As if it was real poop, and everyone knew it wasn't, because dolls don't poop.
I have a question for both of you. Are they doing all of this because these guys suck? These guys are terrible,
not
right?
All of them, Catman. Look, it's early on. They all look bad initially.
Suck.
But you find out some decent guys as we go along.
All right.
Yeah, but as a group, this is why fraternities are terrible.
Yeah,
any
you're right.
Group of men
it's
together
awful.
Suck.
Right. You're right. So Mila Kunis is trying to help Rachel, and she wanted to make sure that at least the men were all employed. They wanted that at least to be covered.
It seems a little picky.
Everybody here has a job?
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh,
Rachel!
This is
we're off to a good start!
You're setting the bar really low.
Have you watched The Bachelor?
Have you watched The Bachelor, she asked? Which I think is a fair question.
So even the Tickle Monster has a job, Ralph?
Yes, he's a doctor.
Oh, my. Children's doctor. How dare you? I have
he's
him
He's a children's draft. Doctor?
Oh,
he's a children's family practice doctor, yes. Ooh. And he's also the Tickle Monster.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no,
yeah. No.
And, of course, we know Waboom. He's got a job.
Oh,
he's got a job
Lord.
Just being Waboom.
God, I hate Waboom.
And he won the competition. He won the baby-changing, vacuuming, dishwashing, table-setting competition.
But he spiked the baby.
He did spike the baby at the end with a Waboom.
But it wasn't a baby. So
maybe he's not really husband material. And he did stiff-arm a guy in order to win, which I thought was a little violent more than was necessary.
That's like my wife coming home after me taking care of the kids and saying, hey, you did a great job, and me like celebrating by spiking one of the kids.
Well, yeah. Right.
It eliminates the whole thing.
Right.
It does. You're right. It does ruin everything you've done up to that point. But he had a very sensitive poem for her while they were sitting there together.
I'm sorry. I thought you said poem.
Poem. I did. Well, Boom has a sensitive side.
Okay.
Here is his very lovely love poem that he wrote for Rachel.
I wrote you a poem. All right. To the long journey ahead, your beautiful brown eyes and your gorgeous smile are just the tip of all you entail.
Oh, sweet.
And I look forward to this adventure with you to continue for a very long while.
Okay.
Aww.
Nope.
I love it.
No, you don't, Rachel.
You don't.
You know
He's
why?
An idiot.
Because there's no such word as entail.
Oh, he meant entail.
Yeah.
Oh,
but it had to
rhyme.
It had to rhyme.
Oh.
Right?
But entail doesn't exist,
but
though.
He needed a rhyme.
But still not a word.
It makes sense, though, because, you know, he's from Woodside, California. He lives right down the street from Joan Baez.
Okay, fair enough.
So that makes sense, then.
What? You know, he's got a deep poetic side.
I got to tell you, she seems like she's salt of the earth because she tries to laugh at everybody's jokes. She tries to be interested in what everybody's saying.
She's just too nice for this.
Too nice.
Yeah.
A little too nice, but she's going to break down because this process breaks everybody down and makes a fool of all of them.
Now, her first one-on-one date is with Peter, with whom she shares the Strahan gap. They both got the gap.
In their teeth, right?
Yes.
And it's okay to talk about now?
I think so.
All right.
Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I said she had a stray hand gap when we started, and
right.
Everybody gasped like I said something horrible.
Well, I mean,
I think because Peter has it now, I mean, there's no denying it at this point. And they went on a date.
There was no denying it before. There's a stray.
All right, take it easy.
They went on a date with her her dog, Copper, the three-legged dog, because Copper's got a cast on one of his legs.
This just doesn't sound real.
And where did they go from their date? Where else?
I'm ready to get my dog on, my bark on. I don't
know. What on earth is this?
Who let the dogs out?
Nope.
Yep.
Who let the dogs out?
Nope.
Welcome to Barkfest.
Barkfest!
What is that?
They went to Barkfest.
What is Barkfest?
It is a festival of dogs.
Baja Man alert.
Who let the dogs out is back.
Unbelievable.
That's a thing. It was played on television
every year
in 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. So they really hit it off, Peter and Rachel. Meanwhile, the rest of the guys are going to have to play some b-ball, some hoops. And that's where Kareem comes along. And some of the guys were very excited about the prospect of showing off their basketball talent, including DeMario, who had this to say.
I'm extremely excited just to be able to get out.
Let's go! It's a wrap.
You can either sink with the fishes, or you can swim to shore. And we're going to see who's built for it tough.
Yep.
What?
You can sink with the fishes, or you can swim to shore.
And we're going to see who's built for it tough?
And we're going to see who's built for it tough.
Hmm. I would sink, but the fishes wouldn't be sinking.
That's what I'm thinking. That's a total Kevinism right there, by the way.
It is. How dare you? I'm not on that show.
You can sink with the fishes, or you can swim into shore. Is something Kevin would
prefer if he said that he was strong for all the roads ahead.
That's right. Well, it turns out that DeMario may not sink with the fishes.
Uh-oh.
But he's got some other problems.
This is how I would have handled it, too. Just full-on denial.
DeMario's girlfriend shows up after the basketball game.
Oh, a girlfriend?
His girlfriend.
Yeah. That doesn't seem allowed. He's single, though, no?
Mm.
By the rules of the show, he's a single guy.
Mm, there's a gray area there as to his singlehood.
Oh, that doesn't seem
Lexi,
good.
His girlfriend, seems to think not so much.
Oh.
And she pulls Rachel aside and says, you know, he still has the keys to my apartment and... We were boning a couple days before I saw you on the Men Tell All episode where the guys started coming out. And she said, I think you need to know this. So DeMario, as P mentioned, came out and he literally said, who's that?
No.
Yeah.
That's the right move.
It was a bold, try.
Yes, it's worth a try. Yes. You got nothing.
Because what else do you have except to walk away in shame?
It was kind of spectacular because first he went, oh, who's that? It was kind of a...
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Rachel wasn't buying any of it, and here was her parting shot.
I'm not here to be played. Right. I'm not here to be made a joke of, which is what I feel like you're doing right now with me. So I'm really going to need you to get the f*** out.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Kicked him to the curb.
Wow.
DeMario gone.
I want to say something.
Yes, please, P.
I think that this is a little bit self-righteous of the Bachelor and Bachelorette to do every year. If somebody has a boyfriend or girlfriend at home or somebody they're halfway with, because everybody listening overlaps with people when they date. We all keep our options open. Everybody does that.
So that was unfair that they brought his girlfriend onto the show?
Hey, if he was starting to do good on the show, he would have kicked her off, just like everything else works in the world.
And P, not everybody overlaps.
Not everybody does,
okay.
But enough people do it. Everybody keeps a number on the side.
I feel like you're on the you're on the Petro side here.
But P, the purpose of this particular show is to end up with a wedding, end up with matrimony.
Right. Well, he would never have to talk to that skinny white girl again if he got picked.
What about him? Well, he might have to return her keys.
You just mail him.
I'm just saying.
At that point, yeah, exactly, Allie. At that point, he's famous. He's won the Bachelorette. He can get a production assistant to mail a key.
Kidding,
Pete. Here's the thing, though. It's the end of the show. We're expecting a rose ceremony. They're having their cocktail party. And who shows up on the grounds who shouldn't be there? DeMario, who's been kicked off.
Who's already been kicked off.
He was not leaving without a conversation. He needs to have one last conversation.
What?
And the fellas do not take kindly to that.
Let's all step up and get him the hell out of here.
Let's do it.
I'm going to whoop DeMario's ass.
He's right there.
Ba-ba-bum! to be continued.
Aww.
All the guys that pick up their torches and their pitchforks, and they go after DeMario like he's Frankenstein at the top of the castle.
Yeah, like they don't have a phone full of numbers, each and every one.
Oh, peace! Stop standing up for these two timing weasels.
They're idiots, but when you're dating, you're dating. Pete. You mix it up.
Pete. Pick your battles, my friend.
Pete.
I think Petros' wife ought to check his phone, is what I think.
Wife, I'm married. I mean, I'm talking about when you're dating.
Pete, you are sinking with the fishes here, and you are not swimming to shore.
I'm built Chevy strong.
All right, so far we're all enjoying it. Good season, you guys?
Yeah, good season.
She's a smart woman, so it makes for an interesting.
Plus, wow, boom!
That guy I need to punch. I feel like I need to punch
him. You're going to stand in line. I think that's coming, too.
All right. Last week I yelled waboom in the bedroom here and woke up the family. So
okay. Look for Petros again this afternoon with his good friend Matt Money Smith of the Petros Money Radio Show. AM 570 Bachelorette Report this time next week. Thanks, Pete.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette.
Ow!
Pope Cody's in the other room.
Oh, dear.
That's potentially dangerous and bad news.
When he shows up, bad things happen.
Yeah, that's for sure. Say,
dude killed the girl he loved.
Yeah. Actor
he's
Sean
probably
Hattesy,
robbing people in the office.
Right?
That's now. From TV's Animal Kingdom in the next room joins us right after the top of the hour. The show returns for season two tonight at 9 on TNT. Is there a show we've been more excited about coming back, by the way?
I can't think of one.
Nope. I can't either.
Season two tonight, 9 p.m., I think it is.
Yep. Talk to Sean coming up. First Ralph's got the show. This beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Sean Bobo Hattesy. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Make sure.
Heard that.
That was our trivia question last week.
Bobo.
That's right. This Friday, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, I will be spending the evening with my buddy Kevin Smith. We do a show called Hollywood Babylon, and people seem to enjoy it. We took off this past weekend, but we're back Friday night, 10 p.m. Love to have you come out and join us. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
No! If you like no.
But if you like the showbiz beat, it's a lot like that, only with more drugs and alcohol. Take a look at the box office from over the long holiday weekend. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, $77 million. Was I lying, Kevin, when I said it was great?
It was great. I loved it.
Javier Bardem.
Great.
Amazing, right?
How weird, this is going to sound stupid to everybody that didn't see the movie, but how weird was it that his hair was sort of moving like he was in the water?
Yes.
While he was out in the open. He wasn't in the water.
Right.
Right?
Yes, okay. Kevin.
You know what I'm saying.
I do, yes.
Okay. Had I said it better, would that have been interesting?
Because they're all basically ghosts.
Right.
Who drowned. And
right.
So as they haunt the earth, as they walk, their hair and their clothing moves as if they are still submerged.
That's what I meant to say.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's a very powerful effect, visual effect, as you're watching these characters.
Now, I didn't see the movie, Ralph, but is it true that there are also ghost sharks?
Yes, there are.
That's ghost sharks.
There are three dead, decaying sharks that are ghosts that will eat you.
Yes.
They're dead. Exactly.
No?
They're dead, yes, but they become fully realized.
The dead pirates will kill you
in the water.
Well.
Yes, they've got ghost swords that will run you through.
That is correct.
I like a ghost sword.
I bet you do. You ghost sword the whip. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
Anyway, $77 million was how much money that movie made. By far, number one, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was $25.2 million. Then Baywatch debuted with $23 million.
Now, Kevin, what was the problem with Baywatch? Because you were really looking forward to that, and it sounds like you walked out of there a broken man.
It had some really funny parts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Back to you, Ralph.
Alien Covenant was fourth. Everything was number five. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul, 6, Snatched, 7, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword was 8th, The Boss Baby and Beauty and the Beast. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. Hey, if you're interested, if you like this kind of thing and you're a fan of Kerry Russell.
Love her.
Love.
You may want to head down to Hollywood this morning, 11:30 a.m. Kerry Russell will be getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She will be honored by Matt Reeves, who was a co-creator of a television program called Felicity, where we first fell in love with Kerry Russell. J.J. Abrams will also be on hand to help unveil her star. Joel Fields, writer of The Americans, will be there. And Matthew Rice, I want to say.
August Rush.
Her co-star of The Americans.
And August Rush.
Don't you remember August Rush? And it was their kid.
What is she talking about?
I don't
about?
Know.
Oh, no, that's Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I thought the name didn't sound right.
Allie,
fix your life.
Oh, it says Bean.
Fix your life.
God damn it.
Wow.
I'm just saying, just friend August Rush.
Will Jonathan Rhys Meyers be there, Ralph?
Well,
no.
Is he on the list?
No, he has nothing, no connection to
what
Felicity.
What was the other name that sounded like
he has
it?
No connection to Carrie Russell.
Well, they were in August Rush.
No.
Yeah.
Just let that go, would you?
If you say August Rush one more time.
I mean, it was a mistake, so let it go.
I'm going to kick you in the culottes.
Oh.
Which sounds dirtier than it is, really.
It does.
Yeah.
They're just shorts that look like a skirt.
That's right. It's just a summertime short skirt. That's all.
You are adorable.
The culotte. But the culotte always, to me, always sounded like a more
yep.
specific
I think
like
we all know.
Region of the
we
body.
We all know, yep.
Like a kumquat. Also not dirty.
Not dirty at all, but
right.
still you would
sounds,
think.
Right.
Yeah.
It's got sounds a certain silly. Sound
right.
to it.
Mm-hmm. Why do some people tune out?
If they do, they're missing out because this has been magic. Thank God Bobo's here to save us.
Here. Right?
Today's celebrity birthday is Jake the Snake Roberts is 62 years old today. He doesn't wrestle anymore, does he, the Snake?
No.
At all, I don't think so, no.
Yeah. Ted McGinley is 59.
He doesn't wrestle either.
Thank you, Bean.
Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage and Rage Against the Machine and other ragey-type things, 53 years old today. Broadway star Idina Menzel.
Oh,
John. Idina Menzel is 46 years old today. And CeeLo Green is 43 years old today. Ain't that some...
Right.
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 I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Sean Hattasey from Animal Kingdom next.
Why has it taken so long for Animal Kingdom to come back to television?
This is a good question.
If only we knew someone to ask.
This is a good question.
Connected with the show. Someone get Scott Speedman on the phone.
Where is he?
He's very busy.
He's too busy.
Kevin is referring to the return of Animal Kingdom on TNT tonight at 9, season 2. We are delighted to welcome back to the studio our good friend Sean.
Bobo.
Hattasey from Animal Kingdom.
Bobo! I'll only respond to Bobo, please.
What's up, Bobo? How are you, man?
Man, I'm great. It's good to be here in studio. In
good
person.
To see you again.
In person.
Yeah. Yeah. How long ago did you finish filming? Were they just sitting on it waiting for the summertime? Or why to Kevin's point, why has it been so long between seasons?
Yeah. We just finished, actually, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
So and back off.
Work faster.
You know, I thought there was a plan in place to bring it on sooner, but I think they figured to wait, and I don't know. This is not, I'm
is
not.
That, is that above your pay grade?
This is way above my pay grade.
How long has it been? It's been a year, right? Because wasn't it last summer when we saw the first season?
I think the first season we started June 1st.
Yeah,
and
so
it was 10 episodes. Yeah. And
well, don't make us wait that long.
I know, but the anticipation, it's just making you want it that
plus
much.
Plus, we get more this year, right? We get more episodes.
We did so well that they gave us three more episodes.
Okay. Oh, three
the
more
fans,
hours.
Yes, the all fans right. love the show, and we reward them with three more
now,
episodes.
For people who haven't seen the show, you're bad, first of all. Second of all, catch everybody up on the family and how they...
Explain the whole first season
whole
for
first
us.
Season, but it's a blue-collar crime family. Smurf, played by Ellen Barkin, is the matriarch. She has four sons. They're all different point of views, kind of guys. They're bad. They take their shirts off. There's nudity. There's sex. There's murder. There's bank robberies. Yeah. There's surfing.
Sean's
butt.
Is there seduction from her to her sons?
She uses her sexuality in a way
with
that
her sons.
With her sons to
uncomfortable.
To get things just enough that anybody that spends time with them is really uncomfortable.
Yes, it's creepy.
It's creepy.
But there is a love between Smurf and her sons that is beyond the pale. It's a little more intense than the average mother-son relationship.
It's Shakespearean.
Yes. I think the sons are pseudo-replacements for a man in her life.
Oh.
And vice versa. And when one of the Cody boys tends to get involved with a woman in a relationship, it does seem to weaken Smurf's hold on them.
And then she will insert herself in a way that is, as we've said, creepy.
Yes,
creepy. And toxic. Yeah.
And deadly sometimes.
And deadly. And then all the boys have different fathers who we don't know.
Right.
And you know, I'm hoping as we go into our seventh, eighth, ninth season, we get people like, you know, Alec Baldwin is Pope's dad or something like that. Bill Macy. You know what I mean?
But season 7, 8, 9 are going to be like 30 years from now.
That's fine.
Okay.
I've got private school to pay for.
And I respect that you went Alec Baldwin as your dad.
He's been my dad before.
Yeah. I respect it.
Outside
yeah.
Providence, right?
It's really a good, it's a good match.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you seen some of the work he's been doing lately?
Yes.
He's really good.
He's been in the news a little bit.
He's really making a name for himself.
I think he's got a future that Baldwin's
got. Outside Providence launched his career.
Thanks to you.
Thanks to
so,
me.
So, Sean, let's talk about Pope for a minute, because I love the way you play him, because he's different from all the other brothers, and maybe that's because he's served time. But he is almost paralyzed, it seems like, sometimes. You play him so still, where everybody else is like moving around and has a lot of expressions, and you're just so calm, even in the most dire circumstances. And obviously that's a choice. What's going on inside Pope's head?
Thanks, Bean. That's my training.
Right?
That's your process?
My process.
I like that.
No, you know, I think Pope is this character who is wildly unpredictable. He has been managed by Smurf for so long. She's medicated him. She uses him because he's not afraid to do the dirty work. And I think it's just the character that when he walks into a room, the way he looks at you, the way he looks at anybody, the way his presence in the scene, he doesn't have to do much. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's just he's this... I like to look at him as an animal.
But yeah. It's a testament as to how you're portraying him that you still root for him. You want Pope to do well. But he just smothered the woman that he loves.
Well, he's a guy in enormous pain.
Him.
He's in enormous pain. You can
he's
tell
an
that
enormous
throughout.
Pain.
And I think that's why you do feel
it's an
for
enormous
him.
Pain.
Spoiler alert.
It was last season.
Spoiler
it was like 5 years ago.
It was 8 years ago.
It was so long ago.
But Pope is trying to get out of Smurf's orbit now, right? He's trying to break away a little bit.
Well, that's season two. It really does become Smurf versus the Cody boys.
Uh-oh.
And they splinter off.
I'm putting my money on Smurf.
Yeah, I would too.
I'm sorry, but she's
but
something.
It, there's things that happen. You know, I think Pope, given that Allie ruined it. And
last
anyways,
season!
He did murder Catherine. Sure. Yes, sorry
and
to report.
And he's got her little girl.
And so, yeah, there's all of these things are happening, and Pope pushes back against Smurf season two, and he's I call it the normalization of Pope. He's going to try to function without Smurf's influence, and she's been such a important presence over him, a toxic presence over him for so long. It's going to be interesting to see how he functions.
All right, we need to take a break.
No,
we need to take a quick break.
No,
wait.
When we come
I'm
back,
not done.
We got to talk about Baz because Baz also has a connection there. He's splintering off,
right.
And how's he going to react?
Right,
to all
we'll
this?
Get to that.
Okay. And I also want to talk about the violence of the program and the response that you seem to be getting from that.
Okay.
It's what I love about it, but it's also people don't love it so much because of that. So
yeah.
Is it
more
too dark?
Sobo.
Too dark for television?
Right. I say no, but
some people are asking.
But we'll talk about that in a second.
Our friend Sean Bobo Hattasy in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show from TV's Animal Kingdom, returning to TNT tonight for season 2 at 9 p.m. By the way, we just had your old friend from Southland, Ben McKenzie, in last week, I want to say. Sean, boy, does that dude hate you.
I know.
Right?
Well, you know, really you spend sad. Enough time in the car with somebody, and
right?
That's what
not,
happens.
Right?
You start to learn there, get annoyed with them very
oh,
easily.
Oh, wait, he misses you and loves you every minute of his life. That's what he told us.
Yeah,
but
I love
he,
that guy.
He's directing some Gotham, and your other co-star, Regina
really?
King, she's been doing a bunch of directing, too.
None of them have hired me. I can't
really
believe that. I could fit in on Gotham. I could
easily.
Be like a bad guy or a villain or
I mean, you
a
have
lawyer.
To be a bad guy or a villain.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you have to be one or the other.
I think I fit the bill. Anyways.
So everybody's directed is what I'm saying, and now it sounds like you got the bug a little bit too.
I think there's a chance that I might be able to direct in season 3 of Animal.
But that seems like a lot of work.
It does seem like a lot of work.
And you already have a job on the show doing a lot of work.
Bean is done with a lot of work,
yes.
I get the sense.
Yeah, Bean does not like a lot of work.
Right.
I think it would be a challenge to play Pope and direct, and hopefully they'll write an episode where I have little to do as Pope, and then I can just focus on the directing.
Are we promised a third season? Have they told us yet that we're going to get one?
I think we're going to do a third season, but I just live like that. I spend my money like we're getting
all
a
right.
third season, so I feel like we're getting a
third season. Well, I think the one good thing about taking a year off in between seasons is that people do
get a chance to go back and watch it either in streaming on the TNT site or wherever they find it, and you do garner fans, I think, who have now sort of caught up to the show, who have become more aware of it, and now they're ready for a second season.
I was saying earlier, I don't know who I was talking to, but you look at the Facebook following just after the first season, we were at like 150,000, and now a year later, it's 300,000. So yes, people do find the show. Mm-hmm. We have new fans.
It's on Amazon Prime, too, folks, if you want to go back and binge. Yeah.
There's a guy from, he used to play basketball in this city, I think.
Yes.
He recently listened, he recently binge-watched the entire season, I think. Do we have that audio?
Yeah, we have.
Listen, I'm in love.
With who?
I saw Ellen Barkin.
You like her?
From my favorite show, Animal King, and she's hot in real life.
Is that what
Yes,
what
I love Ellen Barkin, I love you, will you marry me?
What she's is on your DVR? What shows are you obsessed with?
Animal Kingdom. I saw the whole season in Animal Kingdom in one night.
Really?
Started at 10 and finished about 7 a.m.
How are you obsessed with Animal Kingdom? Is it like, what do you love watching? Do you like...
Listen, I've been loving Ellen Barkin since Ocean's 11. She's just so hot.
Or yes. Ocean's 13. Whatever.
Whatever she was in.
Shaquille O'Neal just binge-watched your entire first season.
I know. He's we saw him at the Turner up fronts, because, you know, they're on Turner as well.
Right.
And he came up to me, excuse me, and he said, Alpha Dog, Alpha Dog. And then he started quoting my lines from Alpha Dog.
That's so funny.
Oh, it's really cool.
That's
and
so
I was just
freaky.
Like, I love you. I just couldn't say anything else. I just kept looking up at him with his big eyes, and I was professed love.
Introduce me to Ellen Barkin, because I love her. I love Ellen Barkin so much. I really want to meet Ellen Barkin.
It was
hey,
a love
Alpha Dog, introduce me to Ellen Barkin.
Shaq was actually on Southland. He was a guest star on Southland.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah,
he sure was.
That's right.
They had to build. I remember because they had to build the car that he could fit in. To make it bigger.
All right.
That's
so
funny.
So Animal Kingdom is a violent show, and I love it for that reason. Are you getting hate for that reason? I don't know.
It's too strong a word.
I think so. I think you're right. I think, you know, sometimes the darkness might turn people off. But
a lot of shows won't go that far, and that's why they're not as good.
I think part of what, you know, I think TNT is taking risks with this show, the kind of storytelling like we talked about with the sexual, you know, relationship with mom, and then, you know, there is the murder.
Sure.
But I think the risk is paying off. I think it's, you know, it might turn, you know, three people off, but for every three people it turns off, eight people.
You can't make a show for everybody.
But the strength is, I think, is it's not gratuitous. It's always somehow connected to the emotional truth of whatever's going on with those characters. So when it pays off, I don't think you mind it nearly as much as you would some other situations.
You're absolutely right. And Ali, as you were saying before, you play a character like this who is very dark and seemingly unlikable, and he does these things like murders his...
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, right.
F all you people online. It was last year.
Yeah. If Shaq can watch it all, so can you.
But people do root for him because of her Smurf's influence over him. And I think that was the trick with Pope. You needed to find something. Because in the film, not that they're this, you know, they're completely different things, but Ben Mendelsohn's portrayal was very dark throughout. And yes. I knew that with a 10-episode thing, you know, we needed to create an avenue to the audience where they could be sympathetic.
How did you perfect the stare? Did you look in the mirror and just stare just, yourself down?
Yeah.
Come up with
yeah,
Kevin, that's his process. He just looks
I'm
in the mirror all day.
He's got a weird, like, stare that has
no, he sees right
power.
Through you, but he
does.
Sees everything.
Right.
I was talking to this acting coach. This sounds kind of dopey, but... we were doing the animal thing, talking about animals, and that's where it came from. Because when a lion or a wolf looks at you, they have this way.
Right, but if I tried it, I would look like an idiot.
No, you'd be surprised. You just have to tilt your head down. Exactly. The lower your head gets,
you look like
the
an
easier
idiot.
Right.
You're doing it right now. You look like an idiot.
It's just not good.
You look like a water buffalo instead of a wolf or a lion.
All right, so I can't be Pope.
No, you could.
No, you can't.
Nobody
can.
Sound like it.
Just me. And Ben Mendelsohn.
Baz will at some point find out what Pope has done, right?
That's going to be bad.
I don't
know.
It has
to
be,
right?
That's going to be a bad Thanksgiving dinner for the Codys.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to find out.
There's never been a good Thanksgiving dinner for the Codys.
That's true.
Is Baz Jay's dad? Will we find that out?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
You know.
Come on.
I don't know.
You
know all things.
Is Pope Jay's dad? I mean, we were definitely...
Wait, no, that would mean that you.
Yeah,
and
but
your
don't
sister.
You think last season when he did the thing with the stripper and
right,
he was like,
he
"Say
said,
we can't, Andrew." He was talking about Julia.
Of course, absolutely,
no.
He was recreating that moment.
No, I don't want.
Right.
No, I don't want to believe
was.
That. No, I black that out.
Is Pope Lena's dad? Is Pope Lena's dad? See, these are the questions I like that they're
Why
out there.
Why are you having all these kids?
Stop.
I like, come on, I like Sean's imagination that Pope is having a lot of sex, though. I like that.
Sure.
Well, bone machine.
Well, they all are. All right. Well, any other questions that Sean won't answer before we say goodbye to him? Anyone else have anything else they want to throw out?
What can you tell us about tonight?
Tonight,
Anything you can tell us.
It's a great show, man. We talked about the fracturing. We find out why. I mean, Pope has been leading this rebellion, trying to get them to do different jobs, and so is Baz to a degree. And we start with a heist that goes terribly wrong, and it becomes apparent that it's Smurf's fault that the heist didn't work out. So that kind of spurs this breakup, and it's pretty explosive.
We got the sense at the end of last season that Jay is going to sort of step up and take a little bit more responsibility and maybe be a little more of a driving force inside the family. Do we get to see that at the beginning
of
this season?
Totally. And the thing is, like I said, it's Smurf versus the Cody brothers, and right. Jay really does become, you know, the guy that's on the fence. He's being pulled in both directions, and they both use him and try to get him on their side and then get information about what the other team is doing.
Oh. Plus, he's got a fancy new gun.
Right. And Jay steps up. You know, he proved himself last season. Yeah. So, but I really think that character is a great character because we kind of get to see it through his eyes when these uncomfortable things happen, his reaction to it.
There's so much great writing and acting going on this show, guys. And as we always say, the best actor on
the show, of course, by the Sean. Just
by
ask
far.
Him.
And I want to say, guys, when you have other actors in here and you say that their show is your favorite show, like, you don't say that to all of us.
I mean, not all. Just you.
Oh, okay.
Just
so when
only
I,
you.
When I'm listening and Allie's like, This Is Us is my favorite show,
I do love This Is Us, but you know what I love the most is Peaky Blinders.
So. Oh, man.
Yeah.
This hurts.
So where's Animal Kingdom in your...
Yeah, like top five shows,
list them. Then probably Veep.
Okay.
Ray Donovan's got to be in there, right? Definitely top five.
Yeah. Okay, I'm never coming on again because when I come to promote a show...
I actually just talked about the show this weekend and got three new people on board.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of wine.
So are you...
That's a lot of work for your sixth favorite show.
Thank you.
Are we in the top 10?
Oh, you're top five.
Oh, great.
No, top five.
Okay, cool.
Top pick.
You just named like eight others. So,
all right. Whatever you want to
do. Tonight at 9 on TNT, you guys, season 2. Thank you, Sean. Love you, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
We had a spirited discussion earlier this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Once again, I was the only one who could see the truth and was right. Everybody else was wrong. About this video that's gotten so much attention that a local guy, shot on the 170 North around Burbank Boulevard, where he's on a motorcycle and he's got a GoPro camera on his helmet, and somebody illegally gets into his lane. And he smashes into the back of this car and ends up on the trunk of this car. And it's a crazy video. Here's a little bit of the audio.
Oh, stop! 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 I can't believe you right now, dude. I cannot believe you. Are you joking me right now? Bro, are you kidding me? You know, I almost just died, bro. I was on top of your car. Dude, not sorry. You almost killed me. My leg is right now, dude.
All right. So I said real.
Right.
And Allie said...
He's just way too calm for launching onto a car and banging on a window.
So false?
I think it's fake, yeah.
So you're on Conspiracy Alley right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the physics of it, how does he go directly from the motorcycle onto the trunk of the car and not get launched into a lane of traffic or on above the car or past the car or something?
We should ask him.
So then we're talking about it on the air this morning, and we get a call from somebody who says, if I remember correctly, that's my brother-in-law.
Right.
So we said, hook us up, sister. And I believe we didn't say it that way. I believe we have the motorcyclist himself on the line right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. The man who stars in this video that everyone is talking about. Hello there, mystery caller. How are you?
How's it going?
How should we refer to you? You're not giving your name.
Joe.
All right, Joe. All right, so you put this up, and I think, first of all, let me give you the credit that I think it's a tremendous public service because, as you say in the start of the video, it takes only 1 second to look before changing lanes. Please use that 1 second. You could save someone's life. And I know that there are thousands of stories of people making illegal lane changes and not being aware of a motorcyclist on the highway. And you, as a cyclist, you probably run into that all the time, and that's one of the reasons why you want to call attention to this, right?
Right, that's exactly it. I mean, this is the month of May, and so I figured I'd upload the video as a motorcycle awareness, as it is the month of motorcycle awareness.
Okay.
Oh, so when did it happen?
This actually happened last September.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. And it was interesting. Was it an elaborate stunt, as Bean thinks?
Actually, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. I had to set up a crane, stunt driver.
Now, finally, somebody's telling the truth.
Extremely difficult.
How do you get video like that in September and not immediately post it? Look, if you're in a situation like that where you are almost killed on the freeway, why wouldn't you have posted it in September?
Insurance. The biggest thing about that accident that a lot of people don't understand was that the driver was driving a rental car, of which he had worked around the insurance paperwork and was then uninsured.
Oh, okay.
So it was a big fiasco as far as insurance goes. So the video was there to hold off until the claim was at least completed before I could actually upload.
But I would think that the video would do nothing but support your claim that the other driver was at fault, that he illegally crossed the double yellow line into your lane. That does nothing but make you look innocent.
Right. I mean, that's exactly it. This was for my insurance to then go after him as well as the car rental company to use that as well in their claim.
So is it real?
Were they as high as they looked?
You know, I don't know. I don't want to discredit. Like, I don't want to talk about the guy too much because I don't know him.
I'll talk about him. He looked really high.
Way high.
He really did.
I can say, I did notice the rolls of cash in his cup holders.
Oh,
that
oh
a little
interesting.
Suspicious if you take
That's interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So my primary complaint about this video, and maybe it's just for unbelievable timing and incredible luck on your behalf, Joe, but it looked to me like it would be almost impossible for you to recreate that by running into the back of his car and gracefully sliding onto the trunk without falling off, and also remaining so calm with your play-by-play as if you knew it was coming. Those are the two things that really are driving me crazy about it.
Yeah, you know, it was just the weirdest happenstance, and I think that's what makes it such a big video online, is it's really hard to believe. How can something like that happen?
How could you be so calm?
You know, I don't think I was calm. I think I was in pure panic and fear. If you listen to my voice, when I'm yelling stop, it goes from a very high-pitched, scared stop to then a, okay, I'm safe, I'm on the car, to like more of an angry stop, you know?
And then you start yelling at the high driver.
It's pure, yeah. I mean, it's pure insanity at the moment, and you don't think to sit there and try and punch the guy or be that angry. It's just, oh my gosh, what has just happened to me?
I almost died.
I mean, I guess I think I would just be freaking out too much to be able to. And you say your voice was higher, and it was, but you were still incredibly calm under the circumstances. When you're on the back of somebody's car going down the freeway, there's no way you should be calm enough to narrate. I'm sorry. You're a superhuman if this is true, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as a moto vlogger and a guy that rides around with a GoPro and a mic all day, you kind of end up talking to yourself a lot. And that kind of helps, I guess, bring a little bit of your composure back down when something like that happens.
Were you surprised that you landed on the car?
Yeah, it took me a good second to realize where I was at.
What kind of reaction are you getting from people online? Did people immediately call you out and say this video was fake?
No, like not Bean? Necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of hate and a lot of backlash. There's a lot of people that also understand what happened. But the biggest question that comes into factor is my speed.
Your speed.
And, yeah, early on in the video, you could see that my speed was around 80. And what a lot of people don't know is I just entered the freeway. So for me, it's safer entering and passing vehicles by going slightly faster than going slower than them and looking behind me.
Right, so but the guys that pulled in front of you were going so much slower than you. That's why you hit them.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the big question is, was I not more aware of them coming in front of me and being prepared for that, which is where a lot of the hate comes in. All I can say is, you know, I didn't expect three lanes. You know, they came over one lane into the first lane, and that's where I thought they would stay. But then once they jumped over, it was a little too late at that point. And my speed was reduced to about 55 miles an hour.
Okay.
But when they pulled out, they were going around 20. Gotcha. A little less than that.
They were not interested in speeding up either.
No.
No, they weren't. All right. No. Well, listen, we're out of time. I'm so glad to hear your first person perspective. I'm glad, obviously, that you're okay.
And I mean, you're wrong, Bean.
And why wouldn't you be okay? Because you did this on a Hollywood backlot. It wasn't even a real freeway. But let's tell people how they can see the video on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. But you've got your own YouTube channel, too. You go by HD2. Is that right?
HD2 Motovlogs. That's correct.
Okay, fantastic. Joe, thanks for coming on. We appreciate your side of the story. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up right after the top of the hour. And keep on listening for your chance to win tickets to see Phoenix, not once but twice, June 9th in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. And then again at the Hollywood Bowl on June 15th. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
It is a Tuesday, but we're going to treat it like a Monday. We're going to go over what people went to see at the movie theater over the long holiday weekend with the box office numbers. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales debuted with $77 million this week. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 came in at number 2 with $25.2 million. Then Baywatch came in at number 3 with a underperforming $23 million. They were expected to do better.
I hope Zach isn't sad.
Me too. Maybe you can, maybe you can make him happy.
That's all of our concerns.
My takeaway from that story is that Zach is sad. I don't like it.
Right?
Yeah, we saw that. We saw the motion. We saw what you're doing with your hand there.
Alien Covenant was fourth. Everything was fifth. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul, was sixth. And Snatched, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, The Boss Baby, and Beauty and the Beast. Those are your top 10 movies. Speaking of movies, Kevin Smith and I are going to be talking about, we're going to give our review of Wonder Woman this weekend at Hollywood Babylon. If you want to come out and check out the show, we're doing our show, Hollywood Babylon, at the Improv on Melrose. Love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. But Smith has already seen it. I'm seeing it tomorrow night. And a lot of good
can't wait.
A lot of good reviews.
People saying, that's right.
People are saying great things about Wonder Woman. Well, most people are. There's some dudes who are kind of unhappy about Wonder Woman. Not the movie, but the fact that the Alamo Drafthouse has plans to do female-only screenings of the upcoming superhero movie. They're doing one on Tuesday, June the 6th, at the Alamo Ritz. That was the first one. And here's their statement. It said, the most iconic superheroine in comic book history finally has her own movie. What better way to celebrate than with an all-female screening? Apologies, gentlemen, but we're embracing our girl power and saying no guys allowed for one special night at the Alamo Ritz. That seems to me as a very congenial, happy promotion that seems to say, just for one night, we're going to celebrate a female superhero taking the screen.
What's the problem?
On her own right. Well, a lot of dudes, Kevin.
Oh, dudes are the problem?
Say that is unfair and sexist.
Oh,
and
dear
we can't
Lord.
See Wonder Woman because it's going to be all women. That is wrong. And Alamo has responded by saying they're adding even more female-only screenings around the country in their theaters.
Finally, someone with the right reaction.
To be fair, men have had a long, long history of being oppressed.
Thank you, Allie, for recognizing that.
Yeah, so I get it, anime
dudes.
We're
so tired of women getting all of everything, and there's no scraps left for us poor guys.
I get it.
Especially when it comes to superhero movies and things geek.
Right?
Where are the men being represented these movies? Where's the male presence at the Comic-Cons and at all the science fiction conventions and things?
Agreed.
And stuff.
Agreed.
Oh, it's hard out there for a man.
Like all women, she needs a husband to make her complete.
Right? So, these guys are...
He's always able to make something worse.
Isn't he,
If you go to their Facebook page, if you go to the Alamo Draft House Facebook page, you will laugh yourself sick watching these men who are generally bent out of shape of the fact that they're having these female-only screenings.
Where is the outrage?
Right.
I do love a woman posted a picture of all the men that voted on women's health care. All white dudes in the picture, and the guy's like, that's not even nearly the same. No, it's not. They're voting on women's health care. We're talking about seeing
a
movie.
Right. Much more important, Wonder Woman. Why can't I see Wonder Woman, first of all?
I think you can still
see
the movie.
And when are they having the pants-off screenings?
Oh. What?
The pants-off screenings.
Is that a thing?
It is now. Right?
The guys that are complaining about this need to be deported. Correct?
Why don't we save our opinions until we check in with Bruce Endicott tomorrow and find out what he... Because he's the one who can steer us in the right direction, I bet.
That's true.
And here's a guy we need to have on. I know we don't usually do authors.
Because reading is for losers.
Well, that, yes. But also, often they write dumb things about dumb stuff that no one cares about.
Right.
Like dumb stuff.
Right.
But here's a guy with a book that I think we have an interest in. It's a new book by Van Halen's former manager, a guy named Noel Monk. Noel Monk. And he's telling tales out of school in the book Running with the Devil. It'll be out on June 13th. And he will talk about his days serving at the pleasure of Van Halen and things that he had to do and deal with.
I'm sure it was nothing but clean living.
For example,
good Christian fellowship.
Eddie Van Halen was hit with a paternity suit while he was engaged to Valerie Bertinelli.
Okay.
Eddie admitted to Noel that he did know the woman, but they only engaged in something that resulted in his pleasure.
Okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Understood.
And then he said, but wait a minute, could that make her pregnant?
Oh, Eddie.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So he's not maybe not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
He didn't know?
And that can't, right?
At Eddie and Valerie's wedding, Valerie's parents found him so drunk, he was in the bathroom hurling into the toilet with Valerie at his side crying her eyes out.
At
the wedding.
Oh, no.
That's a red flag, right?
That is a big red flag.
At one point during Van Halen's 1981 tour, David Lee Roth got so out of control that Noel had to put him in a straitjacket.
Wow!
Once again, the book Running with the Devil will be out on June 13th. If those are just some of the stories...
Right?
Yes, please.
What about the butt?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any that...
Just ask him.
I have so many good showbiz stories, and we're out of time. Hate this. Hate this whole thing.
Yes, come back next hour.
All right, I'll be back.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jake the Snake Roberts, legendary wrestler, 62 years old today. Ted McGinley is 59. Tom Morello is 53. Idina Menzel, from Broadway fame, and Frozen, of course, 46 years old today. And CeeLo Green is 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in about 50 minutes or so, Kevin is going to explain how he thinks he may have been robbed this weekend, but he's not sure.
I mean, I handed my money over voluntarily.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And yet, I think robbed.
Still kind of have a weird feeling about it. So we'll discuss. That's all coming up. First, our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, is here. It's time for a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
We direct your attention to krock.com or kevinabean.com for all the best viral videos of the week. Strong batch this time. We don't have audio for all of them. But, Dave, why don't you explain for folks who haven't yet seen the Fangarang what's going on?
I'll let Kevin take that one.
I mean, it's – I can't tell if it's the Nashville Predators.
Oh, it's them doing this. It's theirs.
They're in with the fans, and it's horrible – horrible fan song that they use the ice crew for and the mascot and center ice.
Yeah, they do this fan song where they have like a dance associated with it.
It's so bad.
Is that a two-step? I'm trying to figure it out, what it is.
It's just embarrassing. Look, and Chip says that she has to be, you know, against them for that. I say I'm on their side. Right?
We've talked about many times on this show the long history of terrible sports songs.
Right.
Though. You know, the Lakers did one, the Bears did one, a lot of teams do one.
Well, a lot of teams did it in the 80s, and then they quit because they were terrible.
Like the Rams, right?
That one, right? Chargers.
Well, this one you gotta see. And also, there's a great video. It's one of my favorites of a woman. And, you know, it's interesting. We were talking to that guy on the motorcycle last hour. This is a woman who gets carjacked at a gas station.
Oh, it's unreal.
And she's like, oh, hell no. And she jumps onto the hood of her car and starts hanging on to the windshield wipers and will not get off the car so this guy can steal her car. And you know what? It works. He gives up and quits trying to carjack her because she won't get off the windshield.
Why didn't he just turn them on?
Then they would have wiped her right off.
I don't
no,
feel
she's
like
holding
that
on to
strong.
Him with her hands. Yeah. But it's, I mean, I'm sure in retrospect,
I wouldn't advise that.
It was a dumb thing to do, but it was just her instinct was, no, you're not going to steal my car. But it's amazing video from the security cam. You got to watch it. All right. There's a bunch of other great videos. We got some audio for some of them. You know, Honest Trailers that we love so much, they just did their 200th episode. And what they do is they take movies and make fun of them. They point out the things that are bad. Unfortunately, every once in a while, they come across a movie that's so good, it's almost impossible to make fun of. And that was the case with Logan, which who didn't love Logan, right? So the big voice guy for Honest Trailers decides he's going to get a little help. He needs somebody to help make some wisecracks about Logan. So he calls up his good friend Deadpool, and it's actually Deadpool Ryan Reynolds on the other end of the phone.
Yellow.
Hey, Deadpool, buddy. It's Honest Trailers.
Who?
Good one.
No, seriously, who is this? I have you saved as Fat Betsy. Don't pick up. Not sure why I picked up.
So we're live right now in the middle of our 200th Honest Trailer for Logan, and we were having trouble. Was hoping we could call you for something edgy or mean to say,
Are you high? I'm not gonna Logan. That film is a masterpiece. If Jackman doesn't get an Oscar nom, I'm setting every VHS copy of Crash on fire.
You're not threatened by another R-rated superhero movie? Full of violence and cursing? Where the hero lives with a senior and has a kick-ass girl sidekick? Huh?
Oh, you mother...
And it goes on from there. It's very
saw
funny.
Logan again last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Hey, help me out since you guys are the. Why did they re-release the movie to theaters, or are they going to in black and white? What's that all about? Where'd that come from?
I don't have any idea.
Never heard of that.
They're doing a black and white screening of Logan.
They should stop that.
You say no. All right. If you didn't tune in for Red Nose Day on NBC last week, hosted by our friend Chris Hardwick, you might have missed this, but a lot of people were very excited about it because almost 15 years after the Love Actually movie, most of the cast got back together to do an update on where their characters are. And I love this scene so much, particularly on the heels of what just happened in Manchester, because Hugh Grant's character as the Prime Minister of Britain is back, and he gets asked a question. I think he has a very, very eloquent answer.
Love actually was all around. 14 years later, do you still feel as upbeat?
Well, interesting. Obviously, times for many people have got harder, and people are nervous and fearful. And it's not just in politics that things are tough. Usain Bolt has run his last Olympics. The Harry Potter films are finished. Piers Morgan's still alive. But let's look at the other side of the coin. Metallica's new album is an absolute cracker. And on a deeper level, I'm optimistic. Wherever you see tragedy, you see bravery too. Wherever you see ordinary people in need, you see extraordinary ordinary people come to their aid.
You owe it to yourself to listen to the rest of that speech, though. It's really a powerful thing. And did you like the Love Actually, the regrouping, Allie? Did you enjoy it? I did.
I loved it so much, and I want a full-length movie and maybe a series and maybe a webcast.
I didn't like it quite that much.
Me
I
liked all it of those so things. Much. My favorite part was when Rick admitted he was a dick.
Oh, with the holding up the sign?
Yeah.
He was a bit of a stalker.
Totally.
This is great, too. And it's been a while since we've had a popular viral video of somebody on pain medicine. But this is a guy who had a fractured ankle. He's in a hospital in Scotland. And they give him a painkiller so that he doesn't feel it as they're putting his ankle back into place. They're doing that thing. And you know how painful that can be.
Yep.
And as is often the case when you're under this kind of medication or anesthesia or whatever, is you have no control over what's coming out of your mouth. And that was definitely the case with this dude.
So he's had some ketamine. It's pretty strong stuff. So he may scream out in pain or do any of this stuff, but he's actually unaware of what's going on. So.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. And it's you.
Open your eyes for me.
Feel the burn.
Feel the burn. Good stuff. Right, let's go.
As the team manipulates his ankle back into place, Neil is oblivious.
Wow, that's just weird. I'm the man. This is good.
I'll have what he's having.
And I started thinking about it when I saw this guy on the table in Scotland. I wonder if Allie McKay knows
Damn
him.
It. I mean, it would be I really, literally was like, please don't.
It would be so interesting to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeehaw.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
G-g-ga.
And it's you.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh.
Woo! I'm the man.
Yes. Oh.
This is good.
Smell it.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, God.
Baby. Excellent.
Yeah. So good.
They lived happily ever after, ladies and gentlemen. You can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
And now, a moment with Kevin and Bean.
Mike says, did you buy magic beans?
No.
What are those?
Aren't like those little dancing?
Those little bouncing beans? Yeah. Those little, they just jump around?
Oh, like Mexican jumping beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a weird guess, right?
Right? That's out there.
That was a moment with Kevin and Bean.
All right. And Allie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trilogy of dumb.
I was part of that. Yeah.
A trilogy of dumb. I mean, triumvirate of idiots. Have you never heard the story of Jack and the Beanstalk? Where it is
sure.
It's the quintessential example of someone being fleeced, someone being suckered. The guy comes up to him and says, oh, I will trade you that perfectly good cow for a handful of magic beans. And Jack, being an idiot, makes the swap.
And then the magic beans are jumping all over the place? Upset.
No, they don't jump. They're not Mexican jumping beans.
Oh.
They're magic beans.
So it's different.
It's very different.
So you're saying it's not the same.
So when Mike said, oh, don't tell me you fell for the magic beans... He's not talking about Mexican jumping beans.
So we were
He's
off
talking
on
about
that?
The quintessential example of someone being suckered.
Why does he climb the beanstalk?
Why does who climb the beanstalk, Jack?
Yeah.
Curiosity?
Okay. Not for more beans?
Right?
Jack's mother's furious with him. You traded our cow instead of selling it at market where I told you to do. Uh-huh. You traded it for magic beans, and she throws him out the window.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't remember that story at all.
Not at all.
Even a little bit.
I'm with him.
I'm sorry.
That terrifies me.
You don't want to be with me.
It terrifies me. Well, how does it end? Does he get the cow back?
How about Bean? He's pretty quiet during all this. Not familiar with that story?
Bean, not familiar?
I guess I'm not. I'm sure it's a story I knew at one point. Is it possible, Ralph, that you are more familiar with it because it's a story that you tell to your kids?
It's a children's story that you would have been re-familiar with in recent years?
No, that's not the case.
Wait,
at
is
all.
It possible, though?
It is
possible.
Anything is possible.
Okay, that means right.
But I've never even told my kid that story.
Oh.
Is Jack the one that could eat no fat and his wife could eat no lean?
That was Jack Spratt.
Same guy.
Not the same guy.
Okay. All right.
But Jack Spratt is the one who sat on the wall and then fell down and shattered into a bunch of pieces, but
no,
they couldn't put him back together
again?
That was
Miss Muffet. She sat on a tuffet.
Okay.
Why do some people tune out?
Humpty I'm very Dumpty, confused.
Not even named Jack.
I didn't.
You went by Jack.
You could have gone with Jack Be Nimble, Jack Be Quick.
Oh, Candlestick.
Right. You could have gone with that Jack. Yeah. There's a lot of other fairy tale Jacks you could have gone with instead of... straining yourself, reaching for Humpty Dumpty.
I'm very confused by all of it. Look, I started this thing by not understanding his reference. When I saw magic beans, I didn't know what they were. So my guess was jumping beans, but you're saying that wasn't it, and I'm sorry, I missed his reference. So.
I'm sorry as well, Ralph.
I'm sorry as well.
Then. We're all sorry.
You are the sorriest three people I know.
At least if Kevin had traded his $40 for the beans, at least he'd have something.
Right?
Instead of just giving it away.
Then you could find the goose that lays the golden eggs.
There you go.
That's exactly the point. That's what Jack finds at the top of the beanstalk alley.
He climbs it.
And he finds the giant and the giant's castle and the goose that lays the golden eggs.
James and the giant peach are up there.
This listener says that
so
Jack
it's a giant peach.
James Barry says that Jack climbs the beanstalk and gets a magic harp. Is that true?
Amongst other things, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, so this story is all
convoluted. The giant has a lot of good stuff.
This story is nonsense.
I feel like him not getting the cow worked out to his benefit, right? So kudos, Jack. Who's with me? You got a harp and an egg?
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
I'll be darned. Here we come. The double Dutch bus is on the street.
No. The original
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
I smell the blood of an Englishman. Does that not ring a bell to anyone? The giant hunting Jack?
It really
in the
does.
Castle?
It really does.
Why
Why do some people tune out?
This just came in from Aaron on text. Ralph, you are dealing with the Three Stooges of the Apocalypse.
Yes, that's what they should call this show. The Three Stooges of the Apocalypse.
How about that whole deal?
Right? It's a mixed metaphor, but I like it. She's mixing the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse with the Three Stooges, but I like it.
It works.
All right, so we're all settled now, right?
No, nothing is settled.
No, we got it. We understood that we missed the reference, and we've apologized, and now we can move on.
A dozen.
Yeah, by the way, Kevin, don't be angry at the listeners when they say you didn't play something when you didn't play it.
I played it all day.
But you didn't play it the last showbiz, and that's what the guy was talking about. And you're like, I literally, period, played, period, it, period, all, period, day, period. Except for the last showbiz beat, where the guy was listening.
It was up and ready to go.
But it was not played.
Not played.
It was not played. So you, period, did, period, not, period, play, period, it, period.
All right, hold on. I need to delete.
Kevin's going to go fix his Twitter feed.
All right.
All right.
Hall of Fame!
I'm going to tell you about something good that is not this show. Let's go from bad to good. Ariana Grande is a girl of her word and a nice person.
Yes.
She said she was going to return to Manchester to try to do a benefit concert on behalf of the victims and the families who were affected by that awful attack after her show last week. And she is making good on that promise quicker than I think that anyone could have imagined. This Sunday, there in Manchester, she is going to have a concert which will benefit those families and their victims, raising some vital funds for those who are affected. Joining her at the concert, by the way, will be Justin Bieber, Coldplay, Katy Perry,
wow,
Miley Cyrus, Pharrell Williams, Take That,
wow,
and others that are yet to be announced. But it sounds like it's going to be a blockbuster, star-studded concert. We're raising some very important money for the We Love Manchester Emergency Fund, which was set up by the Manchester City Council and the British Red Cross. So it's a great cause, and they're going to be raising a ton of money for that, which is awesome.
That is nice.
Concert will be broadcast on BBC television and radio and the Capital Radio Networks. Now, no word yet on whether it was going to be on BBC Americas. At least I can't see it in this story. But I'm assuming it will be.
Oh, I hope it is.
And I'm guessing that they will, as they broadcast, we'll also let you know how you can donate to the British Red Cross and to this emergency fund. So more details as we get to know them. But this Sunday is going to be that concert in Manchester. So
yeah, there are dozens and dozens of those victims still in the hospital with very serious injuries.
Yes, and so good for Ariana Grande.
Agreed.
And everyone else for kicking in. It's called One Love Manchester is the name of the benefit concert. So we'll have more details on how you can listen and or watch as they...
It's crazy they threw that many acts together this quickly.
Yeah, it shows you how cool...
Yes.
Folks are when they hear something like this happening and they want to be able to participate in some way, how they will make time in their schedule and be able to fly themselves out there and make it all happen. So,
by the way, we didn't get a chance to talk about this after the attack happened in Manchester, but you saw Piers Morgan was on the next morning criticizing Ariana Grande for going flying home. Right?
Yes.
Such
Why didn't she stay and
flesh.
Visit the people in the hospital?
Yeah, he's garbage. He's
so
a garbage
he is.
Person.
So I hope this is a an answer to Piers and others who thought that she, you know, didn't do enough.
I agree. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
A dozen.
There it is.
I deleted that.
Did
you delete that?
Yeah, that one I deleted. I took that one down.
Tweet that turned out to be a lie.
I mean, I felt like I played it every time.
Except for the one time.
Bastard. Can you imagine the guy's like, hey, you guys should play that clip of John Travolta.
Do you think I came on too strong?
You mentioned her birthday. Kev's like, that is all. I played it every hour. And it was just not so.
Okay, so I deleted that.
Kevin, God damn it.
I'm sorry. What's his name?
Jack.
Sorry, Jack.
No, it wasn't Jack.
For the beans.
Stock.
Peach.
Wow. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jake the Snake Roberts is 62 years old today. Actor Ted McGinley is 59. Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage and Rage Against the Machine and other ragey things.
Audio Slave.
53 years old today. Idina Menzel. from Frozen and Broadway. And she was on the Oscars once, and John Travolta tried to announce her name. He tried to introduce her, and it did not go well. Something like that. She is 46 years old today. CeeLo Green is 43. I am Ralph Garman, and I will not ever be back. I'm retiring.
I don't think anyone would blame you.
And good night.
The SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of help.
I wish you the best, and hug your kids.
We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning.
Buy war bonds and get canned food.
An all-new Kevin and Bean show, including What's Up with Florida. It's the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because it's Wednesday.
It will not be happening.
We're going to talk to you about the dumbest thing you were arrested for. And thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Also, how dare you?
Tomorrow morning.
All right, I'll come back. Right?